commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire...
Celsius Hockey.
Welcome to another Big Fake Radio Show. Joining me, as always, is my personal attorney, spiritual advisor, Tuffy.
I'd like to get laid, relayed, and parlayed, but that ain't going to happen here.
I think that's a quote from the movie we were watching this evening, No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
1989, starring Hulk Hogan.
Yikes.
This is amazing. Sadly, Jank is not here this week. He has a work commitment, I believe.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so, and then I asked Larry to come join us, Tuffy. And Larry hates us, so he didn't want to come here. Now, I asked him before I knew we were watching No Holds Barred.
Yeah.
So maybe if I had waited, he would have wanted to come
I on. I don't think it would have made a difference.
All right. Yeah, so it's just me and Tuffy tonight. We'll talk about No Holds Barred, a cinematic classic. Then we'll talk about, there's a lot of stuff going on in the conspiracy world we could talk about.
Yeah.
And be like an old Obedient Worker episode for me and
yeah.
Tuffy around the conspiracy.
9-inch cocks coming right up.
Hunter Biden laptop reference. And he just had M&Ms. Stacked along it. Yeah, anyway. And also, Tuffy, right before the show, he told me he made a top 11.
Yeah.
That is amazing. We're also 1 week out from WrestleMania, Tuffy.
Oh, yeah.
Getting close. The Rock is doing some pretty great work right now.
Yes, he is.
We'll get into that later as well. And all right, so I guess that's it.
Yeah, and in Tuffy, the meantime, Marquette basketball is fucking terrible.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that. So what are they in, the Sweet 16? Tuffy went to Marquette, correct? That's your yes. Alma mater.
Yeah.
So who was where did Dwayne Wade go? Where did he play?
He went to Marquette. He was there. Yeah. They went to the Final Four with Dwayne Wade in 2003, I think.
I remember that because they beat Pitt along the way, I think.
Okay.
I believe so, if my memory is correct. And because I was watching that game, and yeah, I remember this Dwayne Wade kid was just carving up the Panthers. And then, then he becomes a big star. So they're in the Sweet 16 right now? Is that what this is?
Yeah, they are the number 2 seed playing the number 11 seed, North Carolina State. And they are 3-for-24 from 3-point tonight. That is not a winning combination.
3-for-24.
And
so
they're
what's
not
the score?
Like getting bad looks. These are wide open shots that they just cannot fucking make.
So what's the situation?
55-47 right now with 4.5 minutes to play. So down 8, 4.5 minutes.
That's like 2 years in basketball.
Yeah. I mean, they could still win, but they need to actually score baskets for that to happen.
All right. But you can just give us the play-by-play if you want.
Just yeah, I'll live. Start counting real soon, maybe throwing some stuff around here, but we'll see.
Do you have any money on this game, Tuffy?
No. Just, right. You know.
Just pride.
Yeah. Like, the Marquette's actually, you know, a decent college basketball team, and whenever I think they look good, they just throw up complete shitters of games every time.
Against the number 11 seed.
Yeah.
That hurts.
I mean, NC State's like, they won the ACC tournament, so they're not, like, terrible, but you can't shoot 12% on three-pointers. That's not possible.
Hey, the baseball
team
starts. How are
yeah.
your Cubbies? How are the Cubbies doing?
Well, their starting pitcher on opening day went out with a hamstring injury in like the fourth inning, so that was great.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, and he's on my fantasy team in the fantasy league there, so, you know. good news all around.
Yeah, I don't even know who that. Who's their ace? Who's their
Justin Steele. I had never heard of him until we did the fantasy baseball draft.
I've still never heard of him. And we did the draft. Yeah. Hey, I hear the Buccos won their first game, the old Pittsburgh Pirates. And then today it turned it on for a little bit. They're up 4-0. And I was like, holy hell. It was Pirates.
Yeah.
Man. World Series.
Yeah, the Cubs, I think they lost to the Rangers yesterday.
Yeah. It's just
who apparently won the World Series last year. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah, because they all had like the T on their hat was gold, and they were talking to their manager about their championship rings or something.
If I recall, I believe they defeated the Diamondbacks in the World Series.
That could be.
It's an odd combination, the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. But all right, so there's your baseball update. Now, Tuffy and I will break down the NFL or the NHL playoff race. Tuffy has a lot of thoughts on
that. Yeah. Have they started yet?
No, there's like 9 games left. 9 games.
Okay. My first prediction, the Blackhawks will not make the playoffs.
Yeah, they will not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Neither will the Penguins. So
ooh.
We got that in common.
That's good.
Yeah. It's embarrassing, but what can you do?
Yeah, I see the Dallas Stars look like they're good.
Yep, Dallas is a good solid team.
New York Rangers.
Rangers are a good solid team. Probably the second
Twitter,
best
Mike
team.
Mike Bell said the Bruins are bad during the second half of the season. They just started hot, so they're just a fake contender.
Correct. They're a fraud. Yep.
The Vancouver Canucks.
Solid team, but they're... their top goalie, Thatcher Demko, he's a very good goalie, probably top 2 in the league. He's going to be out for the extended period of time with a knee injury. So
they
have Casey DeSmith.
They would choke at some point in the playoffs anyway. So
yes, yeah, so a former Penguin backup, Casey DeSmith, is their number 1 at the moment. So I'm sure that'll turn out real well for them. But
yeah,
I think Edmonton's going to be a problem in the playoffs. But Colorado, if they get the goaltending, Colorado has the best team.
Okay.
So look for them in Florida.
Connor McDavid, he's at Edmonton, right?
Yep, he's lighting up. He got real hot here lately, so I think he's only 3 points back of the scoring lead now.
Ooh.
And he's coming on strong. It's Nikita Kucherov, Nate McKinnon, and then Connor McDavid, I believe. And they're all within 3 points. So that should be a good race. Yeah. And again, the Penguins are going to miss the playoffs. When Larry said he didn't want to do the show, and again, because all you orphans are on your radio machines down at the orphanage, Larry hates you.
That's yeah.
The show. I was going to ask Jim Iovino to come on. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to bother Jim Iovino.
Yeah.
So I didn't. But we would have talked a lot of hockey, Tuffy. Jim Iovino was here.
Yeah. Could have got Puck Daddy.
Sean Leahy?
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't know if I want to talk to Leahy right now at this particular moment in time because we're facing each other in the first round of our fantasy hockey playoffs, and I am losing. So.
Oh, yeah, that would have been good.
Nah, I don't think I really want to talk to him right now. So, but otherwise. All right, Tuffy, let's get to the meat
of
the matter.
Weren't you, like, one of the best teams in your fantasy hockey league or whatever you
said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I finished as the 3rd seed, and Leahy was the 6th seed. My team's way better than his. But it's a head-to-head weekly hockey thing. So,
ooh, yeah,
his goaltender's doing good. My goaltenders are not doing good. So it's just one of them things. Kind of screwed. But, hey, we still got a couple days. The NHL schedule this time of year is weird. Like, tonight there's only, I think, 1 or 2 games. And then tomorrow it's like a full slate. And then on Sunday, I think there's only 1 game. So that sucks. But so basically, I need to really go nuts tomorrow.
And, yeah.
Be about it. So, all right, Tuffy, let's get to the no holds barred. And, oh, I also have a Chinese food update, I guess. But I'll give that later, too. And I was at the grocery store again. Another grocery store story as well, I could tell you later. So that's a good tease. I'm sure that'll get people to stick around. But for now, let's talk no holds barred. I had never seen No Holds Barred, Tuffy, which seems odd because, you know, I love the pro wrestling. And
yeah.
This movie's been around for a while. 1989 it came out. You had never seen this either?
I had never heard of this.
What? How did you never hear of this?
I mean, I feel like I'm aware that Hulk Hogan was in movies. I was not aware that No Holds Barred existed.
Oh, it exists. It exists.
I was 5 years old when it came out, so.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. I was, 14? And so I was kind of like out of wrestling at that point, I guess I would say. And I didn't come back in until the Attitude Era, so I guess this was right in that dead spot for me. But you think over the years I would have watched that at some point, but I never did. It's on Tubi.
Yeah.
If anyone out there would like to enjoy No Holds Barred, although good luck with that.
Enjoy.
Yeah, it's an hour and 33 minutes. And the basic premise for this film is a TV network boss pits a wrestler called Zeus against a wrestler called Rip in a wrestling match. That's like the dumbest description ever.
Yeah.
IMDb. It gets a 4.4 on IMDb. The movie stars Hulk Hogan, of course, as Rip Thomas, the heavyweight champion of WWE. Now, you might be asking yourself, if WWE like produced this movie, this is the first WWE film they ever made, and it was performed so badly that they didn't make another movie for like 16 years when they started making those Marines and everything. But this, I think the budget was like $8 million, and it ended up, all told, making $16 million. But I guess it still lost money or something. And Vince McMahon was heavily involved in this, of course. And he
that
said
makes a lot of sense.
Well, yeah, it's going to make a lot more sense here in a minute. But Vince tells a story where Hogan said, "Hey, Vince, we got to make this movie. And listen, if it loses money, I'll you don't have to pay me or whatever, or you can take my check or whatever." I forget what he said. But Vince just said, "Yeah, well, I still never got his money. Like, he owes me money because No Holds Barred did not make money. It lost a lot of money." All right, but Vince and Hogan, they have a big part in this creative for this film. Now, the director is Thomas J. Wright. He never really directed much else in terms of movies, but he did do a lot of famous TV shows. He's a pretty prolific TV director. And he did an episode here or there of really legitimate TV shows, so a hell of a resume there for Thomas J. Wright after this. The writer is credited as Dennis Hacken. I forgot to check what else he had written because I'm not sure if he... Oh, yeah, that's right. He wrote Bronco Billy with Clint Eastwood. Did you ever see that one?
No. Also never heard of it.
Right? Bronco Billy, Clint Eastwood is like the leader of a Western traveling show. You know? Like they put up a tent and people come see him do their horseback riding and gunslinging and whatnot. And it's going out of business, and he's having a tough time making ends meet. So that's basically what Bronco Billy's about. It's a thrilling film. Dirty Harry to Bronco Billy. But yeah, that guy wrote that, and not too much else. But when he turned in the script, Vince and Hulk didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
So what they did is they locked themselves in a hotel room for 72 hours, and they rewrote the script. And there was plenty of cocaine involved.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So this is the end product of that. Now, the film, of course, stars Hulk Hogan as Rip. And Joan Severance has his love interest, Samantha. When I was a kid, I liked Joan Severance. I don't know why, though. Like, I can't remember what she was in that I would have seen.
Yeah.
But I remember as like a 13, 14-year-old. I was like, oh, I like Joan Severance, but I don't know why. I had to have seen her somewhere. She was in a lot of stuff, but... Like, See No Evil, Hear No Evil with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. She was in that. So maybe that's where I saw her. But I don't know. I liked her. Now, the network executive, Mr. Brell.
I know him.
He's played by Kurt Fuller. How do you know Kurt Fuller?
Wayne's World. He's Rob Lowe's lackey in that movie.
I forgot about that. Yeah. He was actually the Joe Rogan part on News Radio for the pilot episode. And then they replaced him with Joe Rogan for episode one. But I also know him most of all from Psych. He was Woody the Coroner on Psych.
Oh.
So all you Psych fans out there. That's who the network executive in this film is. Now, Zeus, the opposing evil wrestler, is played by Tom Lister Jr., also known as Tiny Lister. And he, of course, was Debo in Friday.
And, yeah.
So he's pretty famous. You know Tiny Lister, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you, are you aware that Zeus was in the WWE? Like, you know that?
I was not. No. Oh. Well, not until I read the Wikipedia page or whatever for this thing.
Yeah, because I do remember, because I went back and I watched these matches years ago. Like, when I first got the WWE Network, I was watching a bunch of old stuff. And Zeus, he wasn't a wrestler. He was just a big, strong dude.
Yeah.
He couldn't do anything except punch and kick, and that was about it. But Hogan couldn't do much more than that either, so it was quite the combination. But yeah, for those who don't know Tiny Lister, he's a big, jack, black fella, bald head. And for this movie, he had a Z. Like, the only hair he had was in the shape of a Z on the side of his head.
Yes. And he had a unibrow.
A giant unibrow, but it got cut off, like, on the right side.
Yes. Yeah.
Only halfway over the right eye. He, very intimidating fella. Is Zeus. Yeah. And anyone else in this film, Tuffy, that you recognize? I guess there's a couple, like, David Paymer.
The other henchman, I feel like he looked familiar.
Yeah, Charles Levin and David Paymer, they're both, like, bit actors, probably recognized.
Yeah, David Paymer is the one I think I recognize from the Adam Sandler movies, probably. I feel like he might be in, maybe. Maybe not. And maybe something else.
Jesse Ventura plays himself as a commentator at the beginning of the movie, just for one scene. Gene Okerlund's in there. Howard Finkel, the Fink, is doing the announcing. And the first match that we see when the movie opens, it's Rip wrestling Jake Bullitt. And that Jake Bullitt was played by Bill Eady, who was Axe from Demolition.
Huh.
Yeah. How about that? And Stan Hansen's in this as well. Do you remember? You probably don't even remember Stan Hansen. Huh? Wow. He's a big, big hoss of a wrestler, like a cowboy. He's always spit and chew. You know, he always carried a cowbell.
Now I see that Rip's brother was in Mulholland Drive and The Big Lebowski.
How about that? His brother Randy.
The Big Lebowski. He's credited as Treehorn Thug Number 2.
Is Rip's brother Randy one of the worst parts of movie history? It might be.
Yeah, I'd say so. Right up there.
He's just a dummy who gets beat up and put in a wheelchair. And he just screams a lot. That's Randy. Yeah, but Stan Hansen's in here. I'm trying to think of anyone else. I guess that's about it. All right. So, no holds barred. Anything else you liked? Oh, well, you said you didn't know Zeus was in the rest. So what they did here, you might be asking yourself, why isn't Hulk Hogan in a movie produced by WWE and Vince McMahon? Why isn't Hulk Hogan just called Hulk Hogan? You know? Why did they call him Rip?
Yeah.
Well,
that's
I think
good question.
I couldn't get a clear answer for this, but what I think it is the name Hulk Hogan, they had to lease it from Marvel Comics because of Hulk. So they had like an annual deal where they leased the name to use for Hulk Hogan. So they had to pay Marvel every year for it. And I'm guessing there's probably some rights issues involved there in using the name in a film. So if I had to guess, that's probably why. Because they did a weird thing here where even though he's Rip Thomas in the movie and Zeus is Zeus in the movie, then they come out of the movie and they bring it to WWE and Zeus is mad at Hulk Hogan for beating him in the movie. So Zeus is still Zeus, but now Rip is Hulk Hogan, and they have a match based on that.
Guessing this is where the load of cocaine became involved.
Yeah, like what they did, I think originally when this movie came out, they did something like they had a pay-per-view event where the movie was shown first, and then right after the movie, they had a match. I think it was Hogan and Brutus the Barber Beefcake versus Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Zeus in a tag match. And then Zeus, I think Zeus and Hogan may have been in a cage match at some point. I seem to recall that. Zeus was only around for a little bit, like maybe 3 months or so. He did a couple matches, and then that was that, and he left. But yeah, not a great wrestler. He just a big dude, looked awesome, and just punch Hogan, knock him around. That's about it. So, yeah, you missed out on a lot of WWE history there, Tuffy. You need to get on the cock. Start watching.
I think I'm good.
All right. So anything else here about going through the trivia notes here? Not too much. All right, so how does this movie start, Tuffy? It starts at the arena. Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
the champion,
with Rip's Thomas. Big wrestling match.
Yeah, against Bill Eady, Jake Bullitt. And Ventura's on commentary, and he's saying, you know, Bullitt, he's a great challenger here for Hogan. He deserves his chance. He could beat him. Or, I'm sorry, for Rip.
Yeah.
And unlike Hulk Hogan, of course, he wears the yellow and red. Rip wears, like, baby blue and white.
Yeah, white trunks.
But when he comes in the ring, he rips open his shirt. I think that's how they call him, Rip.
You know? Yeah.
Shirt. And then his catchphrase is, Rip 'em. Then he does the old, what is that, the shocker? What do they call that with the thumb and the little finger? And they go, yeah.
Yeah, like the hang 10 surfer dude, except he bends his index finger back over, I think. Like, the index finger is not fully extended. That's his rip signal or whatever.
And he has a very Hulk Hogan match with Jake Bullitt, including the big boot. But he doesn't do the leg drop as his finish. He does a running double axe handle into the chest.
Yeah.
And that's the finish. Now, in Japan, when Hogan wrestled in Japan, he didn't do the leg drop there either. He did a running lariat, and he called it the axe bomber, what it's known as. And Hogan actually had a an album, you know, in the old days they were called album stuff. He had an album in Japan, and there was a song called the Axe Bomber. In fact, depending on how enthusiasm I have for this topic later on this evening, maybe I'll edit that song into the show right now.
Yeah. Or not. Who knows?
All right. But anyway, a whole album of Hulk Hogan, Japanese music. I got to listen.
Cannot be good.
That'd be great. All right. So he has the match here with Bill Eady there. And he beats him with the axe bomber, basically the double axe handle, and knocks him down. 1, 2, 3. Rip wins. The crowd goes wild. Everybody loves a Rip. But you know who doesn't love Rip? His old Woody from Psych.
Yeah.
A network executive guy. Because Rip is so popular, Tuffy, that this one wrestling program on one channel airing once a week, he is so popular, he is destroying the competition.
Yeah.
All
because Tom Morell is the head of worldwide TV or some World Television Network.
Yeah, the rival network, they just cannot compete with RIP. So as long as RIP's around, they're going to go out of business. So he's like, we got to do something about this RIP. So what's the first thing I saw?
I was wondering, what is the time frame of the production of this movie versus Ted Turner really cranking up WCW?
That was after this. Yeah, this was 89. So maybe, I don't know why Hogan eventually left WWE. Maybe because this movie did so bad, Vince, and his relationship soured. I was thinking
more Vince McMahon is writing like this wiener loser guy as the villain of the movie.
Oh, I see.
As a stand-in for Ted Turner, like, this guy can never compete with Hulk Hogan in the WWE.
You know what? I don't know. When did Turner... I could look that up, but... yeah, Hogan didn't go over to WCW until, what, like, 94-ish?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because for a while he left and he was doing that... what was that TV show? Malibu something?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. Thunder in Paradise or Tropic Thunder? Thunder in Paradise, right? Is that what it's called?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. And then he went to WCW. So here, I don't know if Ted was actually around yet or not. We'll get our crack staff to look into that already in the show. But all right. So, yeah, the network executive, he's outraged that RIP is beating him in the ratings. So what does he try to do first, Huffy? Do you remember, like, what his first plan is to handle RIP?
He calls together a little meeting with everybody for their best ideas.
Yeah.
They
try to just bribe him, buy him off.
Yes, they get him, call him in for a meeting and offer him a blank check.
Yeah, hands him a blank check and a pen. But Hogan is a man of character. He can't be bought.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Rip Thomas. How could I confuse the two? And, he's not going to be bought. So he takes up the check, he balls it up, and doesn't he stuff it in Burrell's mouth? And he says,
leaving politely, and then Burrell gets all animated and starts yelling at him and yelling at him. Because I think Burrell says something like, you're going to eat your words, or you're going to eat something, because then I knew immediately that Hulk Hogan was going to shove the check in his mouth.
That's that Vince McMahon clever writing. Can't see it coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, he stuffs the check in his mouth, and then I think he says, and I don't want to be here when that check clears.
And he walks off.
And then when he's walking out of the room, he turns around and gives him the old surfer Hang Ten sign.
Yep.
He smiles at him. That was awesome. All right,
yeah, but
Burrell,
even though RIP declined their offer, they still have a car to take him back home.
Yeah, but Burrell had a contingency plan, though, because they get him in that car, in that limo, to drive him home. But they have bad intentions for RIP.
Yes.
Would you like to describe this scene, Tuffy?
So RIP's riding in the car, and he sees the driver miss the turn. He says, hey, you should have turned right here. Hey, driver. And then the driver hits a switch, you know, to make the partition come up like in a limo, except instead of just between the driver and the passenger, steel panels come up on every window in the back of the car. The RIP is just trapped in the limo now.
And he says something. He has a corny line, and then he punches the barrier between the back seat and the driver, and, you know, it thuds pretty good. But then he just starts kicking the hell out of the door.
Yeah.
And they show it from the outside, and they show these little bumps popping up in the door every time he kicks it.
Yeah.
And he's just going nuts in the back of the limo. And the guy driving the limo, how can he control a limo when RIP is in there just going nuts?
You know? Yeah. Even though he's not breaching the driver's compartment in any way,
he's just
swerving left, right, and center all over the road.
He's hitting the limo so hard. It's moving it from side to side on the road, and he's causing all kind of shenanigans on the road, all kind of traffic accidents and whatnot. But he eventually gets RIP. They pull into like this warehouse.
Yeah.
And what does RIP do then, Tuffy?
He punches out the ceiling of the limousine.
He just jumps through it. like Spider-Man or something. He just pops right up out of it. And he's landing, he's on top of the roof, flexing like Hogan, you know? So great.
Yep.
So awesome. So now there's a big fight scene.
Hanging out in the warehouse.
Yeah. And old Rip just starts beating the fuck out of him. And he's beating up, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 guys. And they got clubs and chains and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hogan doesn't care. Or I'm sorry, Rip doesn't care. And then he gets to the last guy, Tuffy. And he grabs him. And he lifts him up. And he's like staring at him, nose to nose. And he goes, "What's that smell?" And what does the guy say, Tuffy?
Dookie.
That's exactly right. Dookie. Yeah, that is clearly a Vince McMahon line, if I've ever heard one.
Yeah.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if the guy shit in his pants here?
Hey, wouldn't it be better if he shat on his mistress's head? No, we can't do that, Vince. Let's just have him shit in his pants. All right. Give me some more cocaine.
All right, maybe you can rub it on Hulk Hogan's head, though. Is that a possibility? Maybe? What do we think? Hulk?
So dookie. Yeah, so, all right, that's then I'm watching on Tubi, so that's where a commercial break is, right there.
Yeah.
And then we come back from the commercial break, and, like, Rip's just going about his business again. Isn't he at a meeting with his network then? And
yeah, and they've brought in a consultant now. Is this where the lady comes in?
Yeah, Joan Severance comes in. She's, like, some marketing consultant, and she's going to have them maximize his profit or whatever. I don't know what the hell, business talk. And, of course, Hogan is smitten with her right away, this foxy lady here. And that doesn't he say something like, "Why don't you tell him about all my charity work?"
Do a lot of charity. Yeah, he's big on charity work.
With the kids. Because unlike Larry, who hates the kids, Rip loves the kids. He does charity work.
And, Rip's, he's not doing it to boast. He's saying, "I love all these ideas you have, but make sure I have time to still do my charity work. It's very important to me."
Yeah. And they're in like a business meeting. Like they're at this big table. Yes.
Yeah.
There's lots of other
having a meeting.
Other people there, you know, like 3 or 4 dudes on either side of the table. She's at one end, he's at the other. And then she just says, she gets mad. She says, "All right, let's talk about this later or something." Or he says, "Let's talk about this later." And she says, "How about tonight, 8 o'clock? I'll pick you up." It's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, "Okay, I guess." Man, that Rip.
Yeah, she's getting dressed up.
Going somewhere fancy.
Yeah, going somewhere fancy. Now, we learned soon after this, though, that Joan Severance, she's an undercover agent for Burrell. So her job is to go in and seduce him and bring him over to the other network. So look out, Rip.
Yeah, but she takes him to this this fancy French restaurant, and the snooty French waiter comes over, and she must be a regular there because he seems to know her, or assumes that she knows French and can read the menu, and says, "Oh, maybe you know, I'll let you translate for your friend what I'm what the specials are or whatever." And it's like, you know, quiche, blah, blah, escargot, that's snails on a little pie, or this, that, and the other. It's like, maybe you could handle the beef bourguignon or something like that. And then Rip just starts speaking the French. He knew all along. He's a sophisticated man. And not only that, the chef then comes out, and they're best friends. Rip's a regular. Everybody loves him here.
Fucking Rip. When does he take her down to, like, doesn't he fly her down to, like, Louisiana or something? I don't know. Where does he take her?
Yeah. That's not, I think that's a little later.
Okay. But I don't even remember how this all happened. But, yeah, so she's impressed with Rip now. I don't know. Do we cut back to Burrell and we see him still trying to play?
Yeah, now they're going to the dive bar.
And this
there's some big idea he's got for his new TV show.
Yeah, it's like this, almost like the Roadhouse bar in the original Roadhouse, like one of them bars. Yeah. Except it's run by Stan Hansen and his sister. And their big idea is they have basically a wrestling ring in the middle of the bar, And they've got
except it's an octagon, not a square.
And it's just a bunch of like old hillbilly guys just beating the fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
And
last man standing wins.
Yeah, it's like a tough man contest, I guess, in the middle of a bar. And of course, Stan Hansen is the toughest guy there. So
yeah.
But Burrell says, yeah, this is a great idea. I want to do this on my network. This will beat Rip and his wrestling show if we put this on our network. This will do gangbusters.
Well, first they get to the bar, and the waitress slash hostess says, you guys sure you're in the right place? Are you looking for the gay bar?
And Stan Hansen, I don't know, he does a good, he spits the chaw on the one of the guy's foot. And the guy says, hey, where's the referee? And, he's over at the bar getting drunk, I think, is what he says. He shows the ref's over at the bar. So, yeah, that's Burrell's next big idea.
Just to set up the ambiance of this bar, they go in and they sit down, and Burrell says, you know, put us by the ring over there. And they're sitting at the table, and there's a little person up in a cage above them, the bell ringer.
I guess there was a rumor that was Peter Dinklage. It is not Peter Dinklage.
No, it's not. He's just up there cracking beers, throwing peanuts down at Burrell and the guys.
Yeah. But for some reason, like at the end there, doesn't he hold up a little chalkboard sign with a smiley face on it at some point?
Yeah, he does at the very end there.
Yeah, I don't know. And like the pillars in the bar, like the support beams, they have like tires around them for protection. Like, just tires. So yeah, it's quite the bar. It's quite the bar. So that's Burrell's big idea, is just to air like a tough man competition live from this bar.
And he they have a couple guys who fight, and then while they're just at their regular, you know, they're still scouting, and Zeus just like kicks down a big wall and comes into the bar to take on the next guy.
That's right. And doesn't some lady say, oh, can I help you? And she just picks her up and like drops her like into a barrel or something.
Yeah.
I seem to recall that. Yes. So Zeus goes into the ring, and Burrell says, yeah, let him fight. And Zeus just beats the hell out of everybody. Just the forearm smashing, headbutting, kicking, whatever. He's just murdering everybody. He's Zeus. And he's like, all right, I found my guy. This guy will be bigger than Rip.
Yeah.
There we go.
Because then, Rip sees this on TV. He's watching TV at home with his brother and his trainer. And his trainer, of no real consequence to the plot of the movie, reveals that he used to train Zeus. That doesn't really ever come up at all, but.
Well, I guess at the end, doesn't he, at the very end, I think Zeus hits the trainer too. Doesn't he beat up the trainer and that gets.
Yeah, but the fact that he trained him wasn't really relevant because he was just beating up everybody at that point.
But I think that the whole point of him, like, first of all, wrestlers don't have trainers like this. They're mixing boxing and wrestling. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Yeah. I think it was to just say that he knew this guy. He trained him. He got in trouble because he murdered a guy in the ring, right? Isn't that what he tells him?
Yeah.
Like, Zeus murdered a guy?
Killed a guy.
So he's like, he's bad news, Rip. Bad news. What's the next thing? Do we see, is this where Rip takes Joan Severance on their little road trip?
Yeah, they build up the the TV show, whatever. Now they move it to an industrial zone real quick. And Zeus is fighting a guy called Lug Wrench Perkins, which feels like a real Vince McMahon name to me.
Yeah, they're fighting in like a steel mill, basically. Like
And the guy has a huge wrench to hit him with.
Yes, that should not be allowed. Yeah, there aren't even ropes. They're just fighting in a steel mill. It's just.
Yeah.
And Zeus beats the hell out of him because he's Zeus. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think Rip has like some charity thing he's going to in Louisiana, like you say, or somewhere down south. I think that's the idea. Isn't that why they're going there?
I almost think he just flew her down there so they could eat at that diner. I don't know. But anyway.
No, she's taking him down there because they make a point of her office scheduled all the details, took care of getting the hotel room and all that stuff. Is he going to visit his fan club or something, I want to say?
Yeah, they go to some diner. I don't even know. Like, we're just going to say Louisiana. I don't know where. But this diner, it's just like a typical Southern Diamond.
Yeah, the setup is that her office has set up this whole trip for him to go meet his fan club. They've taken care of everything, but he says, all right, but I have one condition. I'm taking you to this great spot I know for food first. Oh, and it's okay. Just this diner. Where,
yeah, he's all flirty with, like, the owner.
Yeah.
Selma or something, I don't know. Sadie?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's a heavy set lady, you know, your typical Southern diner proprietor, and she says, I've known Rip since I was a size 9.
It sounds like her and Rip used to, you know, have some fun, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, she's married. She says, if I wasn't married, I'd grab Rip up right now and make him mine.
But it sounds like in the old days, Rip and her used to tear it up, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. But anyway, they're enjoying their Southern diner experience, and a couple of hoodlums come in with guns, and they're robbing the place.
Now,
this is Rip. All right, so Rip sticks out because, you know, he's Hulk Hogan sitting at a little table in a diner in his blue wrestling clothes and everything, his little bandana. So he's an enormous human being, and he just looks over at Joan Severance and he whispers, when I move, get down, you know? Just keep see me move. So I'm thinking, oh, well, clearly what he's going to do is he's just going to charge these dudes with the guns to try and get the guns off him as quickly as possible. But that's not what he does, Stuffy. What does he do?
No, he walks over because, you know, they got the counter service at the diner. He goes and grabs one of the stools that is bolted to the floor at the counter, rips that up and throws it at one guy, then just starts going down, grabbing everybody's plate of food and throwing that at the other guy.
Yeah, he hits the one guy with the stool, knocks him out, apparently, KOs him. And then the other guy, he hits like with like, what, 8 or 9 plates of food? It's like a Three Stooges movie where they're just throwing pies at each other. But he just comes, and that guy's got a gun at any time.
They both have guns.
Yeah, but I figure that one guy's knocked out. But this guy, he just keeps getting like a spaghetti in the face or a meatloaf in the face, and he just knocks it away. You got a gun, dude. But after he hits him with about, you know, 8 or 9 plates of food, then he runs over and grabs his arm and punches him. And I think he picks him up and throws him over the counter or something. He causes a bunch of damage to the place. But he saves the day. But it's like the slowest possible way he could have stopped this holdup.
Yeah.
Good on you, Rip. Rip him. Yeah. So now Joan Severance is swooning. She is swooning.
But
Rip.
Well, not quite all the way there yet, because we get to the hotel and there's been a clerical error. We only have one room left. They got to share a room. Yeah.
But this was planned ahead by Braille, because he wants her to sleep with him to seduce him. You know, so Braille orchestrated all this. So they get in the room, talking. They got to share this room, and she goes to the bathroom to, like, you know, get ready and to go to bed. And she's not happy about this situation, you know?
Yeah, I think she's starting to feel bad about seducing him because he's a real nice guy. I guess that's the character motivation, but it's never really
I think that's what we're supposed to believe. But yeah, there at no point do we think she actually likes him. At no point.
Yeah.
But while she's in getting ready, what does – well, first of all, would you like to describe Hogan's nightwear, what he wears when he gets – Yeah,
he's got, you know, like a – tank top t-shirt on, that's fine. That's, you know,
like,
regular.
Like a tie-dye, and almost like a Grateful Dead kind of tank top.
Yeah, that's fine. Right. Regular Hulk Hogan kind of clothes. And then he's wearing what I would call Victoria's Secret brand shorts.
It almost looks like the shorts the girls wear at Hooters. It's little red shorts.
They're like silk shorts that are slit up the side of the leg that barely cover his ass cheeks.
Very small shorts.
I don't know where the wardrobe got these, but it was definitely not in the men's section.
Just wear some sweatpants or something. He's got these little skimpy shorts on.
I feel like this was Vince McMahon's idea of something that would be funny, but it's not commented on by the characters. There's no jokes made about it. It is just the costume Hulk Hogan is wearing.
What if that's really what he wears to bed? he just wore it in. So when he's out there, he's preparing the room for Joan Severance. he's trying to be a gentleman, so he does the old "It Happened One Night." Do you know that film reference, Duffy?
I have seen that, yes.
You've seen "It Happened One Night"? Claudette Colbert, Clark Gable? Holy hell, Duffy, I'm impressed. Yeah, but they had to share a bed in that movie, so they hang a blanket from the ceiling to divide the bed, you know? So this is what Hogan's going to do. He uses athletic tape to tape across the room to create like a little clothesline. Then he drapes a blanket to divide the bed in half. And but then Joan Severance, even though she seems reluctant to, get in bed with Hogan or seduce him or anything, she could have just stayed fully clothed. But no, she just comes out in her bra and her little silk underpants.
Like, yeah.
Weird underpants, too, by the way. But, hey, whatever. They're bigger than Hogan's, I think.
Definitely, yes.
They're like little shorts. And
she saw him in that underwear and let me see what I got in my my bag. I'll go out and see if he wants to switch maybe or something. This is getting weird.
His would fit her better than the one she was wearing.
Okay, and, if you want to wear some women's underwear, at least this pair offers a little coverage. Come on.
So she gets into bed and Hogan gets into bed. And he's like, you know, just stay on your side. Quick,
cut forward, you know, a couple minutes, couple hours, hard to tell, but the lights turned off. And we cut to a shot of Joan Severance's side of the bed, and it is just rocking and shaking from Hulk Hogan doing something. He's grunting, making noises on the other side of the seat.
He's clearly over there beating off, right? He's jerking it
yeah.
on the side of the toddler. Now, she seems so at first horrified by this, but she's intrigued. So she has to go look to see what he's doing, just in fact, to make sure that he is, jerking off. So she lifts up the blanket, and what does she see, Tuffy?
I think it's supposed to look like a pair of buttocks, but it's his feet on the bed.
Yeah, I don't know. They do a real close-up of these two little mounds. I don't know what it's supposed to. Yeah, we're not supposed to look like an ass. I don't know. But it's like the heels of his feet. And
yeah, he's on the floor doing some push-ups.
Yeah, leg elevated push-ups.
And he has now shed the tank top and the skimpy shorts. Now he's just in like the the bodybuilder thong that they wear for their
like a speedo
competitions basically. Yeah. A speedo, but a very skimpy speedo.
And he's all glistening. He seems to be baby oiled up as well.
Yeah.
And when he's doing it, he's doing the push-ups. I guess he senses she's looking up. So he turns around and looks at her. And he says something. I can't remember what it is, though.
Yeah.
Shoot. It was terrible. I mean, it wasn't funny.
Don't wait up for me. That's the line.
Oh, don't
wait up for me.
And she just huffs and throws the blanket back. But she saw his glistening baby-oiled ass, and she is in love with Rip.
Now, again, I cannot express enough. I think the writer, whoever, had in their head that there's, like, sexual tension building. There is no tension in this at all as the viewer.
None. Hogan is such a terrible actor. We forgot, Tuffy, when Joan first comes out of the bathroom, the first thing she sees is Hogan bending over. Like, she just sees his ass and those little skimpy shorts.
Yeah.
She wants some of that sweet, sweet Hogan. And so she's, like, you know, aggravated that he's doing these push-ups. So she
rolls over, tries to fall asleep. He finally finishes his push-ups and then, I guess, just jumps with the full force of his body weight, because he gets in the bed and his side of the bed just collapses.
Yeah, instead of getting into bed like a normal human, trying not to disturb her, because you've already disturbed her enough of your damn push-ups, he jumps in the air and lands on the bed and it just breaks. And she comes rolling over from her side on top of him.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Why don't you stay on your side of the bed?" You know, something like that. And I don't know. She's getting mad at him. He's getting mad at her.
And she, understandably, because he's already woken her up doing his masturbating push-ups. And now he's ruined the bed, so no one can sleep on it. And he leaves the room in a huff, but she says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to sleep on a couch in the lobby. It's got a better sense of humor than you." Which is like, you didn't make jokes. You ruined this woman's night of sleep.
He also had another line in there before that about, like, the blanket being a barrier or something. And he says something about you build all your own barriers or something like that. Like, you know,
yeah. She's keeping him up.
She's so reluctant to get involved with anyone. Like, when was that established? You've been an asshole the whole time. Like, why? I don't think that's her building barriers. That's you being a dick. Oh, that is. You and your little skimpy shorts.
Yeah. But apparently this was enough to make her fall in love with him because now she goes back to tell Brell, like, hey, I'm not going to make him, you know, switch to your network. He's a nice guy. I'm not going to seduce him.
He's such a nice
Brell
guy.
And Brell gives her five across the eyes.
Yeah. He smacks her right in the face, drops her. So what does she do? She goes right to Rip and tells him the first thing she does.
Yeah, says, hey, just want to let you know something. I've been working for Brell trying to lure you to his network. I hope you can forgive me.
Yeah. And they have this real heartfelt speech because he sees her face is bruised, you know? And he goes, did Brell do this? And then this real heartfelt speech, he's on the ground, like sitting on the ground with her, you know? And he says something at the end to, like, make a joke. And they start laughing, right?
Yeah.
But I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, he says the hotel is sending you a bill for for breaking the bed.
Oh, yeah, for the bed you broke. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And she starts laughing. Hey, Tuffy, let's stop right here, though, for a second. How's Marquette doing?
They lost. They're fucking terrible. They're an embarrassment. Oh, they got, like, 4 for 27 from three or something like that.
So they were down by 8 with, like, 4.5 to go.
Oh. Yeah, they lost by 9.
Oh, okay. So they didn't even make a run.
They shot 13% on 31 shots from three-point range.
Stuff to win.
That is not good.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Hogan is now mad at Brell.
Well, he's got her laughing, so now they jump on the couch and they're about
to start banging. Does that happen here?
Yeah, that happens here.
Okay.
That happens here, except then Zeus comes up on TV and says, I want to fight Rip, and that distracts Rip.
Yeah, he's on the couch and she's like on top of him and he like pulls her on top of him and he's like tickling her and stuff. He's like, oh, Rip. And then, yeah, Zeus pops up on TV.
And, yeah. Yeah, then we go to Rip is doing some charity event with a bunch of kids around, and Brell and Zeus just show up on a helicopter.
Yeah. They helicopter in. They get out of the helicopter. They march across the field. Zeus gets nose to nose with Rip. Yeah, because when he was on TV before, he challenged Rip to a match.
Right? Yeah.
He wants to fight Rip. So he comes right to Rip's face, and they're filming this. And they're like, well, Rip, what's your answer to Zeus? You know? And Rip doesn't say a goddamn word. And he's surrounded by all these little kids. Doesn't say a word, Duffy.
Yeah.
Not a word.
Yeah.
That is shameful, no?
I will say, Brell does a great job in these scenes just being a slime ball. He does get a good performance in this movie just being a slimy dickhead.
Yeah, so he waits a couple seconds of silence there. He says, oh, there you have it, folks. You have your answer. Rip declines the challenge. He does not want to face Zeus. Come on, Zeus.
And he claims Zeus as the undisputed champion of the world then.
Yeah, they just walk.
Fight him.
And they just walk off, get back in the helicopter and take off. And Rip doesn't say a goddamn word the whole time. He's just staring at him. And all the kids are around him like, oh, Rip, what's going on, Rip? And he's just watching the helicopter take off. And say, oh, but at one point, doesn't Burrell try to get his henchmen to, like, rape Joan Severance? When does that happen?
Sounds right. Yeah, that's the next scene. Is she's okay. Getting out of her car in a parking garage, and they just show up, and I don't know where.
Hogan just comes, Rip just comes out of nowhere on a motorcycle.
Because he just rides in on a motorcycle?
Yes, he's just there on a motorcycle.
Chance.
I think so. And he breaks up the attempt at rape. And he's chasing a guy on the motorcycle, and the guy goes, you're crazy. And he's running away from him. And at some point, he just scoops him up on the front of the motorcycle.
Scoops him up onto the front wheel there.
And he just starts racing through town. And he says something about, you're going to meet a tree or something. And then they drive him into a little park, and he slams on the brakes, and the guy goes flying off the motorcycle into a tree. And Rip is super happy about it. And he goes back to check on Joan Severance. But that's still not enough for him to fight Zeus.
Yep.
What finally gets him though, Toppy? What finally gets him?
Well, his dumbass brother Randy. Besides, Randy. We got to go see this Zeus guy in person.
Yeah, so he takes one of his buddies to go see Zeus fight the steel mill or whatever he fights.
Yeah. And they run into Brell and Zeus over there. And they realize, hey, that's Rip's brother.
Rip's brother Randy. And what do they do to Randy?
Zeus just beats the shit out of him and paralyzes him.
That's right. He's like Bane on Batman.
Yeah. Back.
So now when Rip hears this, now he's mad, you know. Because the audience has grown to love Randy throughout this film. No, we haven't. Randy's
I don't know why. He doesn't do anything.
He's had like two lines in the whole movie. His total screen time is like 6 seconds up until this point in the film. Like, no one cares about Randy. No one cares. So but now Randy's injured, and Rip is distraught. So he goes down to like Zeus's gym, and he's flipping out. He's like breaking everything, and he's like tearing everything up. There's all kind of explosions with the electrical signs and everything.
Yeah.
He's like, I want you, Zeus.
Yes, they have that gym hardwired to stream out the video.
Yes, because Brell is monitoring Hogan's fit of rage from an undisclosed location. And he's just
enjoying
it.
And also, can I think, talk in through a speaker?
Yeah, this Brell's like a supervillain, basically.
He's
got it all worked out. And so, yeah, Hogan versus Zeus, it's on. I'm sorry, Rip versus Zeus, it's on. They're going to have their big match. And we see, so now we get a training montage. These are always great in these kind of films.
Yeah.
And we see Zeus working out hardcore on the rowing machines, lifting the weights, doing all that kind of stuff. And the whole time he's training, there's Brell on a TV screen just feeding him propaganda about how Rip thinks he's worse than worms or something. He's like,
yeah.
He kept mentioning worms. I don't know what was going on.
Rip said the worms are too good for you.
Yeah.
Rip said the maggots will gag on your rotting flesh.
And so the whole time he's working out, Zeus is just hearing this over and over and over. He's getting real fired up. Then we cut to Rip. What is Rip doing to train, Tuffy?
Crying over his stupid brother in the hospital.
That's right. He's not training at all. He's trying to help his dopey brother Randy get feeling back in his feet. That's what he's trying to do. He's lifting up his legs and stuff. And then we come back to Zeus, and he's tearing it down, doing awesome. You know?
Cinder blocks hanging.
Yes, just cinder blocks hanging from the ceiling. Zeus is going around smashing them with his bare hands. That was awesome. Zeus is great. But Hogan, then we come back to Hogan again. He's helping lower his brother into a bath. That's like what he's doing. I don't know what's going on. So, all right, now it's time for the big match, you know?
Yeah.
Thankfully, Randy is recovered enough. He can sit in a wheelchair now. And he's going to the match, and Joan Severance is going to the match with Randy. And Hogan's getting ready to fight him. But then when they get off the elevator to go in the place to watch the match, I guess, some of Burl's goons grab Joan Severance and keep her behind in the elevator, and they kidnap her.
Yeah, there's a great shot I liked here because Randy gets rolled out first.
Yes. This is great.
And then there's two other people with Randy, and then Joan Severance. There's like two security guards on the outside of the elevator who turn around and push her back in. And you get a shot with like Randy's head filling up most of the screen because he can't turn around to see what's going on. And him just yelling, what's going on?
It was great.
So yeah, Brell calls up Rip down in his locker room. Says, hey, I got Joan Severance. You fight for 10 minutes, make it look good, and then you lose to Zeus, and nothing happens to her. Got it?
Yeah. So Rip's going to take a dive, you know? Got to take a dive to protect his love, Joan Severance. And they have the big match, Hogan Rip versus Zeus. And Zeus is just beating the hell out of him.
Yeah, I did like Brell's line here. He says, if you don't do what I say, you're going to be pushing matching wheelchairs. Like, they're going to cripple Joan Severance, too, just like his brother.
Wow. So, yeah, the match starts, and Rip's getting it handed to him. And Joan Severance, though, the people watching Joan Severance, they're so enthralled with this.
Yeah, they're very captivated by the match. Yeah,
they know Rip's going to take a dive, but they're still loving it so much that they don't even pay attention to Joan Severance. And she's, like, behind them. And does she grab a guy's gun and knock him out or something?
No, there's one guy who gets very excited by some action in the match, and like she's sneaking behind them, and he stands up and kicks his rolling desk chair out. So he grabs that, and when he goes to sit back down, she pushes it underneath him. They don't know she's there. That's the excitement of her escape.
And then she slips out the door. So she's got to get down to the arena to let Rip know that it's okay to fight back because, you know, she's safe.
Yeah.
But until then,
now,
Rip's
meanwhile,
just getting
down to the fight, Rip is, like, he's genuinely losing. He's not doing this for a show. He's just not as good as Zeus.
Zeus is just a better man. That's all there is to it.
And, like, Zeus has Rip beaten down, laying on the floor, and he goes over and just rips the steel ring post in half, trying to impale Rip with it.
Yeah, the ring post breaks off, so it's all jagged, and he walks into the ring, and he's going to stab Rip right through the chest with this heavy metal ring post. But is that when Rip sees Joan Severance, and then he knows it's okay to, like...
I think so.
Yeah, he, like, looks over, he sees her, and he goes, oh, she's free. So I can roll, because if it wasn't for her being free, I would have to just take that steel pole right in my chest. But thankfully,
yeah.
So he rolls out of the way, and that pole goes right through the mat.
Like
all the way to the ground beneath. And but then they still have their match. They're like, oh, well, Rip's going to win now.
Because yeah, Rip's still getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, he doesn't have to hold back. He's going to win. But yeah, Zeus is still beating the hell out of him. Although Rip does hit the axe bomber, the old, his finisher, the double-handed thing, the hammer, whatever.
Not yet, though. First, because, you know, Rip's getting his ass kicked, and I think the lady there tells the trainer, Charlie, like, hey, you got to stop him. Stop Zeus. Stop the fight. And Charlie yells over, Zeus, I'll get you. Zeus comes over and just, like, boots him right in the head.
But I remember Hogan hits the axe bomber thing, but he doesn't get the win, right? Like, it hurts Zeus, but
it seems like that should be the end. Now, like, he saw his ladies free, the trainer got booted in the face. Now Rip's, you know, he's hulking out, for lack of a better word.
Kind of like when Rocky saw, you know, Mick, Mr. T, like, Clubber Lang basically killed Mick, so. So now he's coming.
Yeah, because at like the start of the fight, Rip went to throw a punch, and Zeus just caught his hand. Through the other hand, Zeus caught that. Now the reverse is happening.
Yeah, it's a
and
classic
it looks
Hulk
like, you know,
like you said, it's
yeah,
a classic
Rip's
Hulk
just going to headbutt him, knock him down, hit him with the double axe handle, and that'll be that. But that is not that. He beats him up. He knocks him out of the ring. He hits him with the axe handle. They keep fighting. They still keep fighting.
Yes, it keeps going. And eventually, don't they end up like out of the ring? They're up on like a...
Yeah, they get out of the ring. They go up on a balcony because there's like a producer studio with the big glass windows up on the balcony. And Zeus once again gets the upper hand, flips Rip over the edge of the balcony. I don't think it was that far because when Rip stands back up, like you can see his whole upper torso there. That's like a 2-foot balcony, I think, but... Zeus now, you know, throws Rip over the railing there and starts celebrating, turns around, is only, like, celebrating towards Brell. The crowd is behind him now. Brell's the only person in front of him, and he's really showboating and showing off. But he can't see that Rip is up behind him, grabs his feet, pulls him out from under him. And, this is when he takes out Zeus, I think.
Yeah, who gets it first, Zeus or Brell?
Well, this is the other confusing part, because when Hulk's or Rip starts winning again, Braille is just like pulling monitors, pulling wires out of all the production equipment in the studio there. Yeah, so there's so sparks angry. Like not Braille is the only reason there's sparks flying all over in the little production booth up there.
Yeah.
And yeah, Rip punches Zeus at the top of this balcony and launches him a good 15 feet back to the center of the ring.
Yeah, I think he hits him with the double axe handle again, right? I think.
Yeah. That was just a straight punch to the noggin.
Oh, okay. And he goes off the balcony.
Maybe the axe handle, wait. Yeah, it's the axe handle. All right.
So he goes flying through, lands in the middle of the ring, but he just crashes the ring. Like, he goes through the ring, right?
Yeah, but just the very center, like a maybe 8-foot diameter circle in the center of the ring collapses.
Yes, not the...
So but now there's like a little ring inside the ring going on.
Like Looney Tunes, where they just their silhouette is.
And yeah, and Rip throws a chair through one of the windows like he's going to go get Braille. And Braille is, you know, backing up trepidatiously. And this backs into one of the now exposed live electric lines that he's ripped out of the system and electrocutes himself to death.
Yeah, so he's just getting shocked there for a couple seconds. He's dead. And then does the movie I just remember last night. I can't even remember.
I think there's like the other thing that is like it's not the lady showing up. It's not Joan Severin showing up that gets him motivated. It's not his trainer getting kicked in the face that gets him moving. He sees Randy's pinky move.
Yeah.
That's what really gets him turned back onto the match.
His left pinky finger moves on his wheelchair, and Rip sees it. He goes, oh, I can fight more. I can fight.
Yeah. Now, if I'm Rip, I don't give a fuck about Randy. Joan Severance comes down. Yeah, I'm fired up now. Like, hey, my lady's back. Good news. I can actually fight. No, Randy's fucking pinky finger. That's what gets him going.
At some point during the match, don't we also get another shot of Randy just screaming at Rip? From his wheelchair.
Yeah.
He gets some
Randy.
Something like that. So then after.
Knocked out of his wheelchair during the match, too.
That'd be great. I hope so. So Bro gets electrocuted. And then that's it then, right? Like, doesn't Hogan just look at the camera and like, yeah, rip him. And then like, that's it?
Runs down because, yeah, Randy had been knocked out of his wheelchair when they were fighting through the crowd. Because he goes down. And again, I'm pretty sure like, doesn't hug Joan Severance, doesn't check on his trainer who got booted in the face, just goes and grabs Randy and, you know, sets him up on the outside of the ring that hasn't collapsed. And then, yeah, you cut to a freeze frame of Rip doing his little hand sign there.
Rip him. That's it. That's the other movie.
That's it. That's the movie. What a load of shit.
It's pretty great, though.
Yeah.
Like, in the world of terrible movies, it is awesome.
Yeah. I don't know about awesome. It's fine. Like,
Hogan is...
Some comic scenes. The writing is absolutely atrocious.
Yes. Yeah. But Hogan is such a bad actor. It is great.
Yeah.
The stuff with Randy is so terrible.
It's ridiculous. Brell is a good, like... comedy villain, I would say.
He does a great job, that guy.
Yeah.
He does a great job.
But he is chewing the scenery in this.
Yeah, like the plotting and the writing is terrible. But the scene in the hotel room with Joan Severance is an all-time classic.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of cocaine floating around when they wrote that one. I'll say that.
Hogan doing push-ups in his Speedos.
Speedo's one thing. The weird silk short shorts was way more confusing.
That was very weird. That was very weird. So yeah, there's a you get to see Jesse Ventura at the beginning, and that's always great.
I'm gonna mark that down for a what the fuck moment is Hulk Hogan's lady silk shorts.
Yes, please do. Maybe best actor Brow. Maybe put him down for best actor nominee. Because we always struggle finding best actors, and I don't think we've done many chimp movies this year. So, put him in there.
Yeah.
So, But it's nice to see Jesse Ventura and hear Howard Finkel's voice as the ring announcer, Gene Okerlin.
Yeah.
That's fun at the beginning of the movie there.
Yeah, Joan Severance down for best actor, too. Best actress.
Yeah, I don't know. She really deserved it, though. I don't know if she did too much, but I guess she stared
in the bathroom in her bra and underwear. That was nice of her.
We have to give her some respect for having to stare at Hogan's ass.
Yeah. Yeah. She had to deal with Hulk Hogan in those shorts, so.
There it is. No holds barred. All right, on a bad movie scale, Tuffy. For me, I think this is a solid 8 on a bad movie scale. Because
yeah, I was going to go a little lower, maybe a 6 or a 7.
This is so
I'll give it
bad.
A 7.
This fight with Zeus at the end is great. I'm trying to impale him with a ring post.
Yeah. When they show up to that hillbilly honky-tonk bar or whatever it is, that was pretty good.
Embarrassing Hogan in front of the kids. He doesn't say a word, Tuffy. Not a word. Not a word. Come on, Rip. What are you doing? And then after that, he's talking to his trainer, and he's like, I don't know. I do the right thing. His trainer's like, you did the right thing, Rip. You had to protect those kids. You couldn't let them.
Yeah, as though, like, if he started fighting him, Zeus would have started murdering children on live television.
He didn't have to fight him. He just had to say, yeah, all right, I'll fight you, you know, at the arena next to a Saturday, you know. Let's do it. But no, he didn't say a word.
Yeah. So, just silence.
Man, Zeus.
Those kids probably think Rip's a big wuss now.
Yeah, they're all Zeus fans. Oh, Zeus fans, huh? There it is. Hulk Hogan, no holds barred. That was, outside of, I was going to say his first movie, but he was in, of course, what, Rocky 2 there. His Thunder Lips.
Yeah.
But his first real movie, I would say.
Starring role, I guess.
Yeah. Well, how about that? So I would recommend it. Go check it out on the Tubi. It's a good time because it's so terrible. So terrible. All right. Next week, Cenk will be back, and I believe it's his pick for the movie. So
yeah. He was double-checking today that you do no longer have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I do not have Amazon Prime anymore. So he was saddened by that because I think he's going to pick an Amazon Prime movie. But dig deep into Tubi, Cenk.
Yeah, there's plenty there. There's still a lot of gold to be discovered on that.
Yeah, I had no idea No Holds Barred was even on there. I just searched for it, and boom, there it was. So how about
yeah.
that?
Plus, Tubi's, you know, they're really getting high class now. When I go open the Tubi app on my TV, it's even got a little musical sting. Go, Tubi!
Wow. Yeah, we're driving a lot of visitors to Tubi.
They must be getting a lot of ad revenue from the three of us watching all these terrible, terrible movies.
All right, so that's No Holds Barred. A little bit later, we'll talk conspiracies, and we'll talk some actual wrestling. But first...
Yeah.
Tuffy's got a top 11.
Yeah, the numbers all go to 11.
11. Yeah. What a surprise, Tuffy. Because, you know, I don't like to do prep for the show anymore because I'm lazy and old. And usually you don't do a lot of prep. But when Jank's not here, you know you have to step up your game. Billy Joe's got to step up.
Yeah, I know Cenk is usually good to have, like, oh, yeah, I have 4 top 11s in the bag if we need to fill time. Or I made 8 games we can play this week. So,
yeah.
With no Kevin Cenk, it's like, I know Mike Dell's not going to do anything.
You are correct. Yeah.
He's busy taking naps and getting new Chinese food. I guess we're going to find out shortly.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we will find out. But, so I appreciate the effort, Tuffy. Good job. Good job. Team play.
Yeah, so I decided to do the top 11 animated TV shows of the 90s.
Okay, this sounds like something we've done already, but no, we have. No, we did.
I don't know.
What did we do? Oh, I did a run where I was doing best animated theme songs, I think, right?
I feel like your focus is more 80s, maybe 70s, but
70s
you're not
doing
as 90s. Correct. Yeah. I bring the youth to this podcast with my 90s nostalgia.
All right, Tuffy, this will be good. Tuffy's top 11 animated shows of the 1990s. So I would have been, the 90s are my wheelhouse. I was like, you know, 15 to 25 in the 90s. So
yeah, I was. This was when I was, you know, between 6 and 16 for that decade, give or take.
Okay, so
we are going to span some age demographics on some of these cartoon shows.
I'm interested to see how many I know, because if I know too many, it's probably
most of these.
It's probably a red flag, right? That I shouldn't know this many cartoons if I was a 20-year-old
at the time. No, some of these are shows that are aimed at a older audience, I think, or an older audience could appreciate them.
All right, let's hope so.
I'll start with some honorable mentions, because these were ones that I honestly couldn't remember if they were good or not. I just remember that I liked watching them.
Okay.
The Back to the Future cartoon that aired in like 90 or 91.
I never saw it. I didn't know there was a Back to the Future cartoon. So
yeah, I was putting this list together, and there's a couple of those episodes on Vimeo, and it was not what I remembered it being like. So it's probably not very good. Because it starts with like Christopher Lloyd doing the live action bits, and then it goes to the cartoon show, kind of like the Super Mario Show cartoon segments. And it does not look good.
All right.
Bobby's World, the Howie Mandel cartoon.
I do remember that. I never watched it, but I remember.
I watched it. I remember liking it as a kid, but I don't think I would like that now if I watched it again. So I did not include that on the list.
He did that dopey little voice, like, I'm Bobby, or whatever. Like,
yes. Right? Yep. Yeah. And then Pinky and the Brain, I made an honorable mention because we'll get to another show in a little bit later on the list, but I did not put that as a standalone member of the list.
Wait, did you say Pinky and the Brain?
I
love Pinky and the Brain.
Well, yeah. They're going to be a part of the list, just not the Pinky and the Brain show itself.
Animated.
I want to double up. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So I put Pinky and the Brain as a standalone, as an honorable mention, because it's, you know, I could put it as a tie with the show with Animaniacs later, but.
For those who don't remember Pinky and the Brain, two lab mice, right? One was Pinky, skinny, dopey guy, and one was the Brain, a short guy with a big brain.
Yeah.
And Brain always wanted to rule the world. Like,
voice performance.
And he wanted to rule the world.
Yeah. What are we going to do tonight, Brain? The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
I love that show. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
It felt like cheating to put that in the top 11 because Animaniacs is going to show up on this list as a quick.
Yeah, like it was like a part of Animaniacs, right? Like they would just be in there. Like it wasn't a full.
Yeah, when I was looking it up. After the first season of Animaniacs, it got spun off to its own show.
Okay. All right.
And
it was like in the old days,
94 to 98 or 93 to 98. Pinky and the Brain ran 95 to 98.
I love the Animaniacs and Tiny Toons. Yeah. Like in the old days, Underdog, they would have Underdog show, but in there, there'd also be Tennessee Tuxedo, Fractured Fairy Tales, that kind of. So it was a similar situation. Animaniacs had Pinky and the Brain. What else? Was there something else in there too?
I mean, they had a lot of recurring bits, I feel like. I don't know if anybody else got their own show.
All right. Yeah, I can't remember. I did. Well, we'll talk about Animaniacs when we get there. But right.
Yeah. So number 11 is Tailspin. You know Tailspin, Mike Bell? Disney cartoon.
Sounds somewhat familiar. Is this about a duck?
No, this is with like Jungle Book type characters, but they were pilots.
I was envisioning a duck pilot. A duck.
No, it's like Baloo the Bear from the series centers on the adventures of bush pilot Baloo the Bear, whose air cargo freight business, Baloo's Air Service, is taken up by Rebecca Cunningham. And then, like, Shere Khan and King Louie are kind of the nemeses of these people. It's kind of set up like a Indiana Jones type serial action adventure type show.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. I definitely heard of it, but I never watched it.
Okay. But I wouldn't recognize it because that was a children's show.
Yeah.
That aired from 90 to 91.
And I do recognize that. Like that big bear, I recognize. And a tiger, the mechanic, I recognize that guy.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, like, I probably haven't watched that show since I was, like, 8 or 10 years old, so it might be terrible, I don't know, but I do remember liking that one, and I had to fill out 11 names here, so.
There you go.
Right. Number 10, Darkwing Duck.
I love Darkwing Duck. Big Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck is great.
Basically, it's just a duck like Batman. That's all it is.
Yes. Yeah. It is a DuckTales style animation like Batman. Launchpad McQuack was his sidekick.
I don't remember that guy. I just remember I used to have a TurboGrafx-16 game system. Did you ever hear of that?
TurboGrafx-16.
And it was like an alternative to like Sega Genesis when Sega came out. Like I had it before I had the Sega Genesis. But I remember they would send you a magazine, the TurboGrafx magazine or whatever, new games, and they were coming out with the Darkwing Duck game. And I was like, oh, I should get that. That'll be awesome. I never got it because TurboGrafx-16 only like was relevant for like a year tops, and then it wasn't. But
yeah,
I do remember that. But yeah, it's just a Batman thing with ducks. That's basically what it is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's number 10. Number 9, airing from 1994 to 96 on Fox, is the Tick cartoon show.
The Tick. We just did a Tick episode on Flea Market Fantasy a couple weeks ago, and we talked about that cartoon. And
Probably haven't seen this since it was on TV, but I liked it enough that I remember being excited when the Tick live action show was coming on because I liked the Tick cartoon show.
Well, get a load of this. I can't remember the guy's name who created the Tick, but he created the Tick character as a mascot for his local comic book store's newsletter. And it was popular. And he created it when he was 18 years old. And it proved popular, so they started producing their own little independent black and white comic books through that store. And they put out 12 issues of the black and white Tick comic book series. And he got a deal with Fox to make that cartoon after 12 issues.
Yeah. So,
now they weren't put out every month, so that 12 issues may be a 3-year span or so. But this guy was like 21, 22, and he got that deal to do the Tick cartoon. It's absurd. Like, that's the history. Because I knew nothing about, I thought the Tick had this long storied history of like, oh, he had probably all these comic books, and they find. No, it was like very quick that he became a hit with the cartoon. And then you had the live action show with David Putty. That was on. Then they had another live action show a couple of years ago.
I never watched that one.
Yeah. So yeah, the Tick cartoon, I remember watching that. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah. Number 8, airing from 1990 to 92 on PBS and ABC, but I feel like I probably watched this in syndication, was Tiny Toon Adventures.
Okay, I love Tiny Toons, but what was the adventurous part? Does that make it something different?
Or is I think it that's just the full title of the show is Tiny Toon Adventures, but I would have called it Tiny Toons also when I was Googling this. So,
because I think in the old days, Alf had a cartoon, and then they had a cartoon called like Alf Adventures or something, and it was like different. He was like had adventures through time or something. But
just Tiny normal Tiny Toons and Tiny Toon Adventures, I think, would be synonymous. The same.
All right. Yeah, Tiny Toons. It was just like Muppet Babies, but for the Tiny Toon characters, basically.
Yeah, for the Looney Tunes, Warner Brothers.
Well, but they were like, wasn't the duck like Plucky Duck or something? Plucky? Instead of
Yeah, that sounds, let's see, characters.
I seem to remember Plucky
Duck. Yeah, had like Buster Bunny instead of Bugs Bunny. Plucky Duck. Hampton J. Pig. Fifi LaFume. Tweety Bird. So yeah, all just slight variations of the Looney Tune characters.
I was a big Plucky Duck guy.
Were they supposed to be the children of those characters? Was that the premise of this?
Don't know.
I have not seen this since probably the mid-90s, I don't think. But let's see. No, Bugs Bunny is Buster's mentor. They're just... Children being mentored by these adult cartoons, I guess.
I was a big fan of Plucky. And didn't Animaniacs spin out of this, I believe?
Right? I think so, yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, I decided to do this at like 5:30 today, so I didn't have time to do a lot of research.
Sorry, but appreciate the effort. Yeah.
So yeah, Tiny Toons. Now the next couple, I got a little theme going here, and this is kind of what inspired this list. Is number 7, airing from 1993 to 1997 on Fox Kids, which was just their animation block on afternoon syndication. X-Men: The Animated Series.
Yeah, of course, X-Men 97, we talked with Jenk last week about it, coming back on Disney Plus now. Have you been able to watch any of that yet?
I have not. I would if I remembered to, but it's one of those things like, I'm not going to remember to load Disney Plus and watch X-Men.
Yeah, I don't have the Disney Plus at the moment either. So, but the X-Men anime cartoon, when it came out, it was a big deal. Because again, nowadays, comic book dominate entertainment, but back then they didn't.
Yeah.
So,
yes, that is correct.
To get an X-Men cartoon, it was a big deal, and I watched it and I enjoyed it for what it was. You know,
yeah,
it wasn't too true to the comics though, so it annoyed me. But
I had not read the comics. This was more or less my introduction to X-Men, and I loved it. It's why I like the X-Men, because this show was great for a 10-year-old kid or whatever.
Yeah, Xavier had that flying yellow wheelchair, right? Like that. It was like a hovering yellow wheelchair. Like the classic old Wheels wheelchair, you know? But, Wolverine was a prominent guy in there. And,
Jean Grey was useless. That was the favorite thing in my research when I was looking up X-Men 97 is like an 8-minute clip of Jean Grey just fucking up and getting the shit kicked out of her and not doing what she was supposed to do.
Oh, man. That's not good. I really don't remember too many episodes or anything, but I mean, I saw my share of it.
I would have watched a lot of this because I feel like this was on after school for me when I would get home. Like 3:30, 4 o'clock would have been this and the next show that's on the list.
All right.
Coming in at number 6, airing from 94 to 98 is Spider-Man, the animated series.
Wow. See, I don't even know if I remember this one.
This one was great because, again, I had a cousin who read comics. One of my dad's cousins who's, you know, closer to my age read comics because that's where I would have gotten comics from, is them handing stuff down. So these shows were sort of my superhero entree, and they would have both been on after school on Fox to watch at like 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Okay, yeah, I did watch this at the time because the voice of Spider-Man was this kid named Christopher Daniel Barnes, and he was in a sitcom I loved when I was a kid. It was called Day by Day, about this married couple who they start I forget the exact thing. Like, the guy, I think, was – the husband was maybe in the advertising world, and he stopped because they just had a baby, and he's going to take care of the baby at home or something like that. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus was on that show, and so was Courtney Thorne Smith. So it was pretty great, and it was only on for, like, one season. But he was – this Barnes kid, he was, like, the son, the teenage son, and he was – pretty cool. He was like just a slacker and a goofball. So then he went out and did the voice for this show. So I remember it because of that. But I can't remember too many episodes or plot lines or anything. Because when I think Spider-Man animated series, I think the old 60s one, and then I think Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends from the early 80s. Like, that's what I had when I was a kid. That's what I think of.
According to Wikipedia, the series finale for this show was the first to introduce the Spider-Verse storyline, also known as Spider-Man Multiverse. Wow. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. I can't help you there. I don't know too much about this. But Jank would know all about this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then there was a Spider-Man series on MTV. Do you remember that? It was like a computer graphic animated, like 3D.
No, because that is, if anyone's wondering why all the shows that I'm listing were on network television, it's because I did not have cable as a child.
Oh. That sucks.
No. All those Nickelodeon Cartoon Network shows that, if anyone's waiting to hear those, they ain't coming up because I did not see them.
All right, fair enough.
What are we up? What number are we up five.
To? Number five.
Airing from 92 to 95 on Fox Kids and then the WB is Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows my history with Batman, but this was a great TV show.
Yeah.
Animation. I watched it pretty much every day, even though I hated Batman. I watched it every day. It was on at like 5 o'clock or something. And
yeah.
Because the art style was great.
Yes.
Who was? What's the guy's name who did the art? Bruce Timm or something like that, right?
I'm looking, yeah, I'm looking Bruce Timm is one of the creators of the show.
Yeah, and Paul Dini. And yeah. So yeah, the art style was just awesome at the time. And then that art style just got beaten into the ground by every subsequent Justice League cartoon that like adopted it. But when this this came out, it was so innovative and like new and fresh. It was so great.
Yeah, because when I was looking this up, I ended up on the like daytime network schedule Wikipedia pages, and I saw after Batman the Animated Series went off the air, there was the new Batman Superman Adventures, which is just this same show except Superman's included in it now.
Yep. But yeah, this is great. A lot of great stories, great direction. Like the animation was great. So yeah, even though I'm not a Batman guy, still this was a good show.
Yeah,
this is really the show that made Harley Quinn Harley, like something like she came out of this. And then of course what's his face, Luke Skywalker did the voice for Joker,
Mark Hamill, right? Yeah, it's not that this show made Harley Quinn something, it's that it made Harley Quinn out of whole cloth. I don't think she existed before the show.
Yeah, I think this was her first, right? I think it was, if so.
Yeah, that's number five. Number four, airing from 93 to 98 on Fox Kids and then the WB Network, which also, looking this up, reminded me when the WB launched as a TV network. I remember that being a big thing because the Animaniacs, I believe, was one of the launch shows for that.
Okay.
But yeah, the Animaniacs, number four.
Only number four. Man, Batman at five and Animaniacs at four, they would probably be my one and
well,
two.
Well, you might get pissed off at the top of the list because they're going to become not the same, I would say, genre of animated show, but they're all animated. So, that's the key here.
Explain Animaniacs.
We're going from...
Who don't know what
it is. Yeah, Animaniacs... it's like your classic... insider Hollywood kind of studio humor, old timey laughs, a lot of references to very old entertainment that if you had no idea, it's still funny because characters are goofy little, like rodent looking things, but,
yeah, they're kind of like Steamboat Willie looking Mickey Mouse, like Mickey Mouse characters, like that era of animation. And
the in-universe premise is that the, Yakko, Wakko, and Dot are these actual characters like Steamboat Willie who are just so rambunctious and out of control that they lock them in the Warner Brothers water tower and then they break out and cause chaos.
Yeah, they're just crazy characters. And I liked, I don't know which was which, but the one guy who always said, "Hello, nurse."
I think that's Dot. Or no, that's Yakko who does the hello nurse.
Yeah, Dot's the girl.
Yakko.
Right?
Yeah.
Hello, nurse.
Yeah, and Wakko is the one who sounds like he's got like a Liverpool accent, like a kind of a lazy Beatles accent.
Yeah, he's kind of like the leader, right? Like he's kind of the leader.
No, that's Yakko. Wakko, Yakko's like an old-timey kind of, 40s, 50s, maybe actor style. Wakko's the one who sounds like he's in the Beatles with his like lazy Liverpudlian accent. And then Dot is the girl.
Okay.
And it is a fantastic show with a wide cast of characters because they would do like, every act of the show would be a different skit. So you would get different recurring characters, recurring skits. That's where Pinky and the Brain started, as they would be, 7-8 minute,
Sports as part of the Animaniacs that then became their own television show. You had the Good Feathers, which was a bunch of pigeons doing like Godfather style voices, and there was always one pigeon, I think, who was like dumber and would cause problems for the ones trying to do like mob style things.
Yakko.
Go ahead.
Well, just say that Yakko, Wacko, and Dot, the Warner brothers and the Warner sister are the main characters of Animaniacs. Yakko is the oldest child, wisecracking smart aleck, usually acts as the leader. He's the taller of the three of them. And Wacko is the middle child, has the Liverpool accent, a huge appetite, and a gag bag filled with tricks. And Dot, the youngest child, is cute, sassy, and witty. So that's the description.
Yeah. He's also always trying to bang hot guys, if I remember right. Like, anytime there's an attractive man, she's swooning over him, ready to jump in bed.
Yeah, Yakko, the leader, like, he's the oldest. He just has, like, brown pants and a belt. Wacko's got a blue shirt and a red hat. And Dot has a little yellow flower in her hair and a little pink skirt. So, but, yeah, how about
I do remember, it's like, if there were attractive female characters, like, you would have the Warner brothers would then, like, go panting and drooling over that, and the sister would have to reel them in. Male other characters, and the sister would start going drooling and panting after them.
Yeah, it's a pretty great show.
Yeah. A lot of different supporting characters, supporting skits, and everything going on. A great show.
What year did you say that was?
That originally aired from 93 to 98.
Yeah, 93 was a banner year. And 94. Yeah, that was right in my wheel. Like, that was a golden era. For like, in terms of the NHL, 93, 94. So, yeah, it's a pretty good time for me.
That was Mike Dell's peak. It's all downhill from
there.
That's
right when LCS started. 95, 94, 95. So,
yeah.
Who would have thought 30 years later, still be doing a stupid radio show about it? All right, Tuffy. Well, top three better be pretty good. Animaniacs and Batman are 4 and 5.
Yeah, I'm kind of switching up here because they're animated shows, but those were all like daytime animated shows so far, or like Saturday morning cartoon style. Airing from 1989 to today.
Yeah.
The Simpsons.
It's crazy that this is only three, because I think, well, that would be an exception to be number one. Again, the first 6-7 seasons of The Simpsons are unbelievably good.
Yeah.
So good. And then it is shocking that it's still on the air.
It is unbelievable. I have a buddy who's the same age as me who still watches The Simpsons, and it's like, this is not a good, it's not the same show, and it's not good now.
It hasn't been good for a very long time. Well, I don't know. I haven't watched it. You know, I check in on it maybe once every 5 years, and it's still terrible.
Yeah, I'll occasionally turn my TV on, and the last time I turned it off, it was on FXX, and they'll be running like season 33, episode 12 on their, you know, syndicated reruns, and it's like, this is miserable.
And also, my esteem for it went downhill after finding out Matt Groening was on Epstein's plane and everything. So,
not going to help on the next one here either.
Oh, no. All right. What's the next one?
Yeah, Simpsons. There was a time when that might have been my number one, but I feel like it's been dragged down by its legacy. So that's why it's only number three. It might have been the best show at its peak of the top three, but coming in at number two, another Matt Groening Sunday night Fox show is Futurama.
Oh. I never watched Futurama.
It is very good.
And it wasn't around for that long, right? Five seasons?
Four seasons in its original run, and then it has been revived a couple times, I think. It has 8 total seasons. The original run was 4 seasons. Then it ran from 2009 to 2013 on Comedy Central for another 50 or so episodes. And then I guess it's on again now?
Oh, I had no idea.
It was on last July on God only knows what channel at this point. On Hulu, they're making new episodes, I guess. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
But again, I'm thinking of the first four seasons of Futurama, not any of the latter episodes. I have watched some of the Comedy Central ones probably, but I can't say for sure. Those first four seasons are absolute gold.
Yeah, I've always heard good things, but just never watched it.
And again, the premise of the show is Fry, the main character, he is a pizza delivery boy in the year 1999. On New Year's Eve 1999, he goes to deliver a pizza to a person named I.C. Wiener, which is just a prank. And he ends up at a cryogenic freezing lab, so he just decides to kick back and eat the pizza. And then his chair tips backwards, and he falls into one of these cryogenic freezing chambers and just gets left in there for 1,000 years, wakes up, it's the year 3,000 now.
Okay.
And through whatever technology, he finds out his closest relative is this professor who runs a delivery company, Professor Hubert J. Farnsworth. But he's like a 100-year-old mad scientist. And then there's also working at the delivery company is Leela, voiced by Peggy Bundy, who's a one-eyed alien. Yeah. And then Bender, the robot. And then a assorted cast of other zany characters. And it is a very, very funny show.
So what's
it could have been number one.
They just like deliver
the
stuff.
Is, so they're like a space travel is prevalent. So they're a like space delivery company. So there's aliens and space monkeys and all kinds of stuff.
So they just get involved in different adventures while they're delivering things. But
yes,
all right.
That is very much the premise.
Fair enough. Yeah, if Matt Grant was involved, I'd probably give it a whirl. But yeah,
okay. Yeah. Yeah, like he has the creator credit, but he was not the primary writer showrunner.
Right.
That was a guy named David X. Cohen. But,
he would make the girls massage his feet. That's the thing he liked to do on the plane.
Well, you know.
But anyway,
it's
all right.
Fine.
So what's number one, Tubby?
You know, when he was on the plane, was it before? Yeah, Futurama was also a cheat because that started in 99 and ran to 2003, I didn't mention. So,
yeah,
barely a 90s TV show, but I counted that and I docked it a spot for being barely in the 90s. So, number one.
I think I know what number one is.
Well, it was on the air from 1990, starting in 1997.
Yeah.
So, what's your guess?
It's South Park.
No. Although that also started in 97. This also aired on the Fox Sunday Night lineup. It went off the air in 2009.
As soon as I thought South Park, I'm like, wait, Tuffy didn't have cable.
Yeah. I didn't see South Park until much later.
So, wow, 97 or 2009?
Yep, this is another Fox Sunday Night animated show.
It's not The Simpsons, it's not Futurama.
Nope, and it's not Family Guy either. I'll give you that one, too.
I have no idea.
This one is set in Arlen, Texas, starring the Hill family, King of the Hill.
Oh, King of the Hill. Forgot all about that.
The old Mike Judge.
Yeah, the Beavis and Butthead guy. Yeah.
Yeah. This show
I never watched it. Never watched it.
Oh. Well, I don't think Mike Judge was on Epstein's plane, so you can watch this one. Because I have watched this recently, like last fall, I think. I watched, you know, a season or two on Hulu, because this show is just still fantastic. You know, you got Hank Hill, his son Bobby, his wife Peggy, and then his best friends, Dale Gribble, Bill Dotrieve and Boomhauer. And, yeah, this show is incredible. Because it's just a, like, small town, Texas town. And Hank Hill is your, you know, stereotypical all-American, played football in high school, Now he works as a salesman of propane and propane accessories.
Yeah.
And because it's Mike Judge, you know, there's a at least a tinge of satire on modern times where, especially in the early seasons, one of the big, like not plots of it, but sort of behind the scenes driving things as the Megalomart coming into town, like the Walmart type big box store that's running things out of business, and features Brittany Murphy as a voice actor for Hank's niece who moves in with the family. Yeah. But yeah, I would go watch King of the Hill if I was you, Mike Dell. It's on Hulu, I think, if you got Hulu.
Don't have the Hulu. Don't have the Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot it existed.
Yeah. Because as I was putting this list together, also, as I was looking at it, putting it in order, it's like, well, I just kind of went from when I was a kid with kids' TV shows to then as a teenager with the after-school TV shows to then the Sunday night Fox more adultish type TV shows in rank order. But
yeah,
King of the Hill's great.
It's a good list, Huffy.
Yeah.
Personally, I put Animaniacs 1 and Batman 2.
That's me. Yeah. I also haven't watched those in a long time. If I watched
them, I haven't watched them either. I haven't watched them since 1997 or whatever. So, who
knows? Like, King of the Hill is the only one I've watched in the last 5 years for sure. Futurama and The Simpsons would be the only other two I've watched in the last 15 years, I think. I do own the DVD of the Animaniacs, but I'm, you know, outside of Twin Peaks, I can't say I've watched the DVD for probably a decade.
That's right. You watch DVDs. All right. Well, good job there, Tuffy. I don't think there are any cartoons from the 90s that, like South Park would be the big omission there, but,
yeah.
That I could think of.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been up there, but it started in 97, because I did look that up, but I was not watching it until probably the mid 2000s, well, I wouldn't bet.
Oh, Beavis and Butthead as well. That was 90s, right? Early 90s.
Yeah. Again, that would have been on cable, and when it came out, I was probably too young for it, maybe.
We're just trying to think of any other.
Another one that I do know.
Oh, yeah. Ren and Stimpy was a big one. Yeah.
Yep. And then in terms of, like, children's cartoons, Rugrats was another real popular 90s cartoon.
Yeah, I never watched any of that crap.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Ren and Stimpy's one where I did have a Ren and Stimpy video game for my Sega Game Gear, but I never really watched the TV show.
Yeah, that was very popular at the time. I remember Jim Iovino loved Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
You idiot. Yeah. All right. So good job, Tuffy. And
yeah.
Pick up a slack there.
Actually, thanks back, and I can start slacking off again.
Yep. I appreciate you stepping up.
Ugh.
So, all right, let's talk some conspiracies here real quick. A lot of stuff going on in the world of America, Tuffy. A lot of stuff going on in the world of America.
I don't know. Your buddy. Russians.
Yeah.
I think the theme song was for the conspiracy segment.
Yeah, it was the clip from Network, Over Top of Territorial Pissings. Nirvana. So, hey, maybe if I can find the audio, I'll play it right here. I won't, but you never know.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that one. All right.
I guess the big story at the moment is P. Diddy. What is going on with Puff Daddy?
What is going on, Bill? Can you fill me in?
Now, we've talked about this in the past, that, you know, everybody in the entertainment world is basically there for one reason, and that's to fuck kids. That's basically all they do. Hey, wasn't there a documentary that just came out on Netflix about all the Nickelodeon shows and Dan Schneider?
Yeah, I think it's called All Quiet on the Set.
Yeah, we talked about Dan Schneider on this year's show 10 years ago at least, the guy from Head of the Class, and how he was the child molester and how they covered it all up. So now it's finally come out all these years later, and people were acting shocked that this was going on. Everyone knows it's going on. No one gives a damn about it because it's just everyone involved is so corrupt. But, so it's weird that why is this happening now? And then why is P. Diddy getting exposed now as well? I always have to ask that question. Why now? Because, you know, the rumors are always that he liked the young white boys is what he was into. particularly Justin Bieber. He was close to Bieber. And that poor Bieber, he just got used and abused.
Yeah.
So, but now P. Diddy, it comes out like the FBI raided his house. What was it, like last week, early this week, or whenever it was?
Early this week, I think, yeah.
And they're saying it's in connection with a sex trafficking investigation.
Yes.
And oh, by the way, who's that guy, Cat Williams? He had that interview with Shannon Sharp a few months back. I didn't watch it. Did you watch the interview? It went viral.
I just saw a few clips. That was it.
He was basically talking about all this stuff, how corrupt the music industry and comedy, all of entertainment is. And he said that 2024, things will be coming up. People will be getting exposed. And then, boom, this happens. So right away, that makes me think, what's going on? Cat Williams, is he put there to say this? And then usually when something like this happens, it's to cover up for someone bigger. So, like, if P. Diddy's getting exposed right now, it's to cover up and distract from someone else to limit it. It's called a limited hangout. So you let people know about this much of this story so you can protect the rest of it. And, like, when the FBI raided his house early this week, a couple days earlier, people, a cab driver or something, they were just posting on message boards saying, hey, I'm driving by Diddy's house. I think he's moving. Because they've been unloading truckloads of boxes have been coming out of his house the last 2 days. And then the FBI raids him. So clearly he knew something was coming. And also, is the FBI raiding them to get evidence to convict P. Diddy, or are they raiding to get evidence to protect other people? That would be my thing, and I think that's what's going on there. I don't think anything. So where is P. Diddy at the moment? Did he flew off and took off?
That's a good question, because I saw on Reddit that his plane flew out of America.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I've been keeping up on the story, and because I don't know, I guess they still haven't caught up with him. He's still on the loose. Well, P. Diddy.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah, I saw his management put out a statement or something, but that was
What did they say?
I don't remember.
Yeah, because apparently what was going on with the P. Diddy, and, the way that these are classic little honey traps there, honey pots, however you want to call it, but they usually do this in politics, where this is what Epstein was, and they would invite these famous people, celebrities, to have these parties on his island or wherever, at P. Diddy's house, and then they have all the rooms wired with cameras and sound and everything. And they get these famous people or politicians doing these heinous, disgusting things, and they get it on film, and then they have them compromised, and they have them in their pocket, and they can use them whenever they need them. So that's how our government works. But apparently P. Diddy was doing that. Now, was P. Diddy, he had his whole mansion wired with cameras and everything, so he was doing this to the people that were going to his house to have these parties, and these parties apparently involved lots of kid fucking and all that kind of stuff. So was he doing this on his own to get leverage on people? Or I find that hard to believe. I would think someone in the intelligence community is having him do this for them. You know?
Yeah.
So that would mean P. Diddy is connected. So, yeah, this is all pretty shady. I don't know. Unless P. Diddy is just a really strange dude who's doing this. What? Yeah, basically everything in the entertainment world is connected, and it's all disgusting, vile, evil people.
Yeah.
And
R. Kelly was doing some weird, gross stuff, too. So.
Yeah. You don't get to be at that level of fame or that level in politics unless you're compromised in some way or unless you're picked. They always say you're joining the club, you know? It's a big club and you ain't in. But you go the Illuminati, whatever you want to say. But they bring you in their ranks, and then you're part of them, and then you think you're free and you're above everything, so you don't have to worry about getting caught.
Wasn't P. Diddy a big part of that, like, MTV Rock the Vote campaign they had 20 years ago, too?
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Because the same people run everything, and it's all just a bunch of Luciferian fucked-up shit. And I know it sounds crazy when you hear that the world is based on Luciferianism and kid-fucking, and I thought it was crazy, too. And then, you know, the more you learn about it, you're like, holy shit, yeah, this really is what our world is. And it's very sad and depressing. And eventually what you do is you don't leave your house. And that's basically where I've been the last 8 years. But anyway, how do you think this ends, Tuffy, with P. Diddy? Do you think they bring him to justice? You think he testifies in court and he exposes all the other people who was going to his house and fucking kids? I bet that's what happens, right?
Certain as what will happen, but
no, that's not going to happen at all. Do you think P. Diddy's going to be found in a hotel room hanging himself by the doorknob of his bedroom door? That
seems
could happen.
More likely. Say that.
Yeah, that could definitely happen. But there will not be a trial. There will not be anything like that. This will all get hushed up somehow. So keep an eye on that P. Diddy. See what he's doing. You know. So, yeah. I mean, it would be lovely if all this stuff gets exposed. And all the pedophiles and creeps.
Yeah.
And the government. Well, you got to start the president there if you're bringing out the pedophiles and creeps. So I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway. All right, so let's look at the conspiracy subreddit and see what's going on here. Here's one of the top topics here. Popular social media personality. Her occupation is literally psychological operations specialist for the U.S. Army. Yeah, they just get these good-looking ladies to go on Instagram and stuff and help manipulate the people. There you go. Here's one of the pedophile elite hate images of God because they show that they're banning all religious symbolism from the White House celebration or something.
Okay.
Ontario's school board threatens to suspend unvaccinated students.
Ooh.
Oh no, what a shame. You won't let me go to school. Sorry. I don't want that one. Oh, yeah, what about the crash into that bridge? Is that in Baltimore?
Yeah.
That crash into that bridge?
I don't really see the conspiracy on that one. That seems like a boat just broke.
Yeah, well, I guess the conspiracy would be, take down, this could be an attack on the infrastructure. Because, oddly enough, about a month ago, there were these weird text messages were somehow found from, Chinese. They were written in Chinese. And they talked about basically how the infrastructure, going to crumble the infrastructure or something. So when people connect the dots, they think, is this part of that? Is this like the first strike and that? Or is it just, that's the problem with conspiracy. You don't know whether, you know, shit just happens sometimes. So did the power.
Yeah, I'm pretty
of this
sure
boat,
this is one of those shit just happens incidents just where dropped. A boat with a lousy maintenance track record actually lost power. And then the currents of the channel drifted it to one side and it
smashed into one of the things.
Hundreds of thousands of pound ship just does not stop and will pulverize a concrete pillar.
Yeah, unless you have overwhelming evidence to the contrary. Yeah, you just got to go with, all right, yeah, that happens. So you never know.
Yeah.
What else? T.D. Jakes and Prince Harry are named as accomplices to Diddy. Who the fuck is T.D. Jakes?
I have no idea.
Vince McMahon, R. Kelly, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Oprah, and the royal family. These people are all accused of sex trafficking. They're evil. They hate you. All right, so that's the headline.
T.D. Jakes is a Dallas pastor?
No idea.
I don't really see Prince Harry's involvement with P. Diddy either. I'm not sure I know the connection there, but who knows.
I don't know either. There's a clip of Barbara Walters on The View scolding Corey Feldman when he tried to tell them that, you know, how the entertainment industry is all about kid fucking. And she said, you shouldn't talk. She got real mad about it. So,
yeah. I mean, my favorite Barbara Walters clip of all time is when Norm Macdonald was on The View and he was talking about the Clintons and she got very offended by him.
That was great. Yeah. here's a post. This guy brings up a post. He says the headline is, this goes deeper in years back than P. Diddy. And he talks about a post made on Godlike Productions a good 15 years ago. And they were talking about how Jessica Simpson's house, it was discovered that her house in Calabasas had hidden cameras everywhere. So it was another one of these deals. And so when they were posting in this thread, someone made a post, and the author of this post, he called himself Star Child. But he just went on saying that, yeah, he's the son of an actor. And you wouldn't believe the stuff that these people are into. And then
I thought they were going to make a joke and say, yeah, it was called The Newlywed Show.
No.
The Newlywed, whatever that was, for reality TV
Jessica
show. Yeah,
Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey on MTV.
Yeah.
This kid here is posting. He says, I have seen my dad having group sex on many occasions. I've also seen him have gay sex with men that you know of. And he says his dad's famous. Everyone will know him, but he's not like an A-list actor or anything. And
yeah.
He says, you would be shocked. My father's also into the societies, the evil ones, the San Francisco Nest. San Francisco is supposed to be a big area for witchcraft in particular. Nancy Pelosi is supposed to be real connected. And like the San Francisco.
Isn't that where Bohemian Grove is up that way too?
It's in California. I don't know if it's where exactly in relation to San Francisco it is, but yeah, it's in Northern California. I think Bohemian Grove, I think it was just happening recently, right? Like just a week or two ago. I think.
My invite must have been lost in the mail.
Or maybe not. Maybe it's in the summer. But I thought I heard someone talking about it. But anyway, getting back to this kid in his post, my dad's house had a hidden basement. And I skipped a couple of lines here. He says, I hate my dad. I watched him abuse my mom so many times, but the police would never touch him. He was too rich and famous for anyone to mess with him. Also, the cops in Hollywood are mostly satanic cult members. I told a friend once about the shit that went on in my house, and I got locked in the dungeon for 4 days. Yes, you heard me. My dad's house has a hidden basement that is basically a dungeon-type underground level. It has all sorts of the most demonic shit you've ever seen, the stuff that's in movies. When I tell you that the people here are effed up, I mean bad. They have all kind of rituals down there. That is where I was first raped. My life has been one that I wished I'd never had. My dad made sure I would never stay trapped in the existence. He set out to set me a large trust that I blew through in less than 3 years. He made sure I would have no ability for income unless I followed him into the nest. That is why I think so many of the actors suck balls now. They are like me and placed in a position whether they can really act or not. I know I was. I don't even want to be acting. And he goes on and on and on just about how bad his life ended and how his dad's fucked up. So people back then were wondering, well, I wonder who this person is. Or is this just, you know, a LARP, someone goofing, having some fun?
Yeah.
But then not long after that, do you remember Growing Pains? Remember Boner on Growing Pains?
Yeah.
That kid hung himself, you know? And that kid was Andrew Koenig, and his dad was on Star Trek.
Huh.
So they think they connect the dots on this, and they think that was Andrew Koenig making that post. And then they go back through that thread. There's other people talking about this. But this is just how the entertainment industry works, and it's very sad and disgusting. Very sad and disgusting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And here's one, another guy talking about how he was talking about Sean P. Diddy back then, saying that he was a pedophile 15 years ago. They were talking about it and how he preferred the young white boys. So, again, all this stuff has been known for a very long time. But so why now is P. Diddy in trouble? That's a big question people should be asking. Because, you know, the FBI is not interested in cracking down on child molesting or pedophilia. Like, they just don't give a fuck. You know, so why are you going after P. Diddy? That's the question I want to know. All right. Any other interesting stories here? People dying is less important than corporate profits. Ozempic maker Novo Nordisk facing pressure. A study finds $1,000 appetite suppressant could be made for just $5. Well,
yeah,
that does seem to be all the rage now.
That's pretty much all of the medicine, but
that Ozempic seems to be all the rage. People taking that and it's stifles their appetite, I guess. But is that a good thing? Is that a good way to lose weight? By like, you need to be consuming to get enough nutrients and everything to keep a healthy body, right?
So, I mean, most people eat like 2 to 3 times the amount of calories they actually need for their lifestyle, so it's probably not bad. But like, if I eat junk food, it's not because I'm hungry. It's because it's like, I'll just have a snack, eat some chips, I guess.
Barring some health condition with like your thyroid or something that prevents you from losing weight, you know, something like that. Here's how you lose weight. Burn more calories than you consume.
Yeah.
You'll eat weight, you'll lose weight. So there you go. That's a tip. Me to you. I'll help you out there. So
yeah.
All right. The big news story is all about P. Diddy. A lot of P. Diddy. So yeah. And Jay-Z's in this as well. Beyonce.
Yeah.
All the big music stars. Just remember, we used to go back and look through all the satanic signs and symbolism and all everything, because it's just, they put it right in your fucking face. They don't even hide it.
Yeah.
You know? So.
But I saw Beyonce released a cover of Jolene.
Oh, no shit.
Jolie. Out of country album now.
Jolie. Except he should change the lyrics. So instead of "I'm begging you, please don't take my man," it's "I'm warning you, please don't take my man." It changes the tone of the song.
It does change the tone. Yeah, Jolene Dolly Parton wrote that, of course. And Jack White covered it with the White Stripes. Yeah, I loved his rendition of it. And Miley Cyrus, I saw she. Oh, how many times was she abused? Probably, huh? Miley Cyrus.
Good lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Child performers who were like abused the most. She'd have to be near the top. Bieber.
Amanda Bynes seems like she was pretty broken by her Disney Channel experience.
Yep. Bieber would also be up there.
Britney Spears.
Yeah, clearly Britney had issues. Yep. Yeah, it's pretty sad. So, all right, there's your P. Diddy update. We'll keep an eye on that P. Diddy.
Yeah, but I did see Kenan Thompson gave an interview because he was on a TV show called Kenan and Kel on the Disney Channel. Yeah. He said, all that stuff they're talking about, that was after I was gone, so I don't really know.
Yeah. Sure it was. Okay. So, anything else in the conspiracy world catching your eye, Tuffy? Anything else going on?
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's
just
talk.
The Bridge and P. Diddy, those are the big stories.
Yeah, I think those were the two big ones. All right, so let's talk pro wrestling, Tuffy. A week away from WrestleMania, Jade Cargill made her debut tonight on SmackDown, looking pretty great. Ooh. She didn't wrestle; she just came out, signed her contract with the GM fella. Whose name I can't remember. Nick Aldis.
Nick Aldis?
Yeah, he's married to... I'm so old. I can't think of anybody's name. I love her, too. Monday Night MILF. What was her name?
Nick Aldis is married to Mickie James.
There you go. Mickie James. That was her gimmick. She wanted to be the Monday Night MILF, and they wouldn't let her do it.
Yeah.
Mickie James. I'm a big Mickie James guy. But
yeah, she was great.
Yeah, she signed the deal there, so now she's official part of SmackDown. And earlier in the night, Randy Orton and Kevin Owens teamed up against Austin Theory and Austin Theory and Grayson Waller fought the Street Profits, and Karrion Kross's crew came down and helped them win. Karrion Kross looks pretty cool now. I liked his look before, but here's the problem with Karrion Kross. He seems like he's pretending to be a pro wrestler. That was my problem. Because he has the look. He's good enough in the ring. He's pretty good on the mic. But it never seemed authentic. Now he's got this new look where he's got like a mustache and long, greasy hair. And he just looks like a douchebag. Like a dick or a greasy dude, you know? So I'm like, all right, maybe that'll work.
Yeah.
Maybe this will work. And now he's got Paul Ellering and the Arthos are paying with him. And he's still got Scarlett, brown-haired Scarlett, looking good. So I'm like,
Scarlett is much less prominent now. With this whole other group, like we need to focus on Scarlett here.
Yeah, but I think that may have been a problem that she, whenever it was just him and Scarlett, everyone was looking at Scarlett. You know?
Yeah.
If you have at least four, but I like Karrion Kross, and I hope he has success. Yeah. And he did a good job here tonight. They're still feuding with the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley, so that's good. And we have AJ Styles feuding with LA Knight. That's getting good. Bayley attacked Io Sky at an NXT or some sort of. Io was doing an interview and Bayley attacked her backstage, and that was filmed earlier in the day. So then tonight, Dakota Kai was supposed to wrestle Bianca Belair. So I'm guessing more shenanigans will happen in that, and maybe we'll get Asuka and Kairi. But now it's weird because if Dakota's getting involved in it, like, are we going to get a 6-woman match at WrestleMania? Like maybe Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill versus Damage Control?
Yeah, that could be. Got two dots to fill, right?
But then the Kabuki Warriors won't defend the titles at WrestleMania?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how this all shakes out. I don't know.
On the card is Bianca, Jade, and Naomi versus Damage Control.
Oh, there you go. See, I booked the territory myself right here live on the show.
Yeah.
So that must have been announced tonight. Then, it was Kevin Owens and Randy Orton at the top of the show tonight against, Pretty Deadly. I love Pretty Deadly.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
They are great.
Yes, and boy!
Friday night SmackDown with the Pretty Deadly boys. And Logan Paul came out from under the ring and sucker punched KO at the brass knuckles, knocked him out, and Pretty Deadly got the win. And then Orton came and was beating up on Logan Paul, but then Pretty Deadly saved him. And then they chased Logan Paul in the back. He hopped in a car and took off. So,
yeah.
Because at WrestleMania, it's going to be a triple threat. Paul, Orton, and Owens.
Yep.
For the U.S. title. That's what he has, right? Yes. The U.S. title?
Yep.
Logan Paul has to win that, right?
I think so.
Yeah, just keep it on Paul. Keep it on Paul. What else? Oh, well, the big thing going on right now is, of course, the Bloodline.
Yeah, The Rock.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird because, like, the big match is Cody versus Roman on the second night. But really, it's like The Rock versus Cody is taking center stage here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Roman's just sitting in the background, not really doing much.
Yes, that is correct.
So on night one, it's going to be Rock.
On the other side of that, you have, like, you know, Seth is coming out and talking about The Rock, and then Drew's coming out messing around with Seth, and you had CM Punk on Monday night because I was in Chicago. Dude,
that segment on Monday night with Drew, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins was probably the greatest segment I've seen on pro wrestling since the Attitude Era. Easy. It was so good. Like, they're just, because they're, it's just a, like, it starts out just Punk talking in the ring. Then Drew comes out, and he's shitting on Punk. And Punk's trying to shit on Drew. And at one point, Drew says, you know, I'm the chosen one. And Punk says, who chose you? Say his name. Because he wants him to say Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
That was so fucking good.
because last week's WWE was here in Springfield, Illinois.
Oh, yeah. And, you didn't go, though, huh?
I was debating if I should go because I had to work Saturday, too. So I didn't get out till late. And I could have bought a ticket and just gone over there. But it was like, the week before I looked and tickets were $20 and the day of they were up to like $40. I was like, ah,
holy hell.
I'm not paying $40. Then I go check Reddit the next day and it's like clip from the house show yesterday, Rhea Ripley giving the stink face to Nia.
I could have been that person
for that, Mike Dell.
That was that show. Rhea went viral. She hiked up her little pants there and gave Nia the stink face.
I missed it. I could have been there.
It's pretty impressive. That mommy, she's something. And did you see the next night, Shayna Baszler dropped down in the corner and wanted Rhea to do it to her? But Ripley declined. But I think Nia intervened, I believe.
Yeah, Nia intervened and prevented it.
Hey, by the way, Nia Jax has been great since she's come back.
Yes.
She needs to get more credit because she got in really good shape for her, you know? Like she lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I guess she said she got with Charlotte's trainer, and he put her on a program. And she lost a lot of weight, and she's been great. Like, every time she's in there, she's been effective telling the story she needs to tell. That match she had with Becky was awesome, main event. So, yeah, good on her. She deserves a lot of credit, because she had, knee problems, too, and everything. So, for her to keep doing this, good job on you, Nia. Proud of you. So we need a new Nia Jax on Champions. Better that old Nia Jax.
Yeah, that would be good.
All right, so Rock and Cody, last week on Raw, it starts out with Cody in the ring. Rock walks down to the ring, and he just whispers something to him and then walks out. But people are going nuts. And I think Jackie Redmond asked him backstage, hey, what'd you say to Cody? He says, why don't you ask Cody? And then she asked Cody, and he wouldn't say either.
Yeah, what he said, I'm not going to tell you whatever it is. It ain't going to come true or something like that.
Some people were saying they could read his lips. They said, I'm going to make you bleed tonight.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So late at the end of the show there, Cody's – who was he involved with at the end of the show? Can't even remember now. I think it was like – wasn't it Jey Uso or somebody and he came down to the ring to help Jey?
Yeah, Jey was fighting. Who was he fighting? Because then Jimmy and Solo came out. So Cody and Seth came out to give him – him to help.
Yeah, I can't even remember. But anyway, it ends up with The Rock jumping Cody. And The Rock is beating Cody out all over the arena. He beats him outside, and it's raining outside. what a visual that was. The Rock in his Versace shirt, just beating the piss out of Cody Rhodes. And he takes him out in the parking lot, right outside of Cody's tour bus he has. He travels around it. and he's just slamming him up against the tour bus, beating him up, cuts him, and then he's cutting a perm. The whole time he's saying, look at your hero now. Look at him now. Look at Mama Rhodes. Mama Rhodes.
Mama Rhodes, look at your boy. Look at your boy now, Mama Rhodes.
It was so awesome. And so then Cody, the camera cuts back to Cody. He's bleeding now. Bleeding like a stuck pig. And The Rock goes over, and he takes his belt off. He's got one of them white weight belts that Cody always wears, and it says The Rock on it or whatever. And he's like, yeah, look, Mama Rhodes.
It says Mama Rhodes on it.
Oh, Mama Rhodes. I think you're right. Yeah, he says, look, Mama Rhodes, your boy's bleeding. This is what I told you. I told you I was going to give you a belt, and he rubs his blood all over the belt. And he goes, just like I told you, Mama Rhodes. And he's still
bleeding. Yeah.
And he just look at your hero now. It was so great. Really? And then, did you see The Rock's Instagram today?
No.
He released what happened after they quit air.
Oh yeah, I did. Okay, yeah, I saw that.
Or maybe that was yesterday that came out. I don't know. But he's like, yeah. So, like, it's just on his Instagram, and they yell cut, and he's like, no, fuck you, I'm not cutting. He just starts
whipping him with the belt.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm done what I'm saying I'm done. I'm not done. He's like, yeah, he's beating the fuck out of Cody with the belt. And he's like, yeah, I'm on my roads. That's so great. Fucking Rock, he's killing it. When he first came back, I was worried, you know? Like, I don't know if he still has it. But, yeah, he still has it, man.
Yeah.
Rock is great. Holy hell.
I don't know if this was his initial plan when he came back, but he did a good job of rolling with it, following the crowd and finding the character again.
Either way, it's genius. If it was their original plan, it's genius. And if they just adapted and turned it into this, it's genius. It's awesome. Whatever they're doing is awesome. But like I said, the only drawback is like Roman's kind of getting lost in the shuffle. You know, he's kind of.
Yeah.
It's a little weird. But so the main event of WrestleMania is going to be Seth and Cody versus Rock and Roman.
Roman.
And if Rock and Roman win, the bloodline can be outside the ring.
Bloodline rules for night two.
Yeah, that means anything goes. But if Cody and Seth win, the bloodline have to stay away.
Will not interfere.
So naturally, Rock and Roman are winning night one because you need bloodline rules in the main event.
Yes.
And what I would like to see happen is like make it like an Avengers situation where all the people that Roman has wronged over the years, they come out to help Cody. Like, you know, LA Knight. Well, I was going to say McIntyre, but McIntyre is probably not involved anymore after that.
No, he's not coming out.
He's so heelish. Dude, he is killing it, Drew McIntyre.
He'll come out, McIntyre, Jey Uso will be out there fighting against Jimmy.
Yeah, we have an Uso versus Uso at WrestleMania, too. That will be a good match. McIntyre is killing it right now on the mic and on social media. He is just savaging Seth on social media every day.
Yeah, I saw he went to that little bakery in Chicago.
Yeah, Mindy's Bakery, where Punk got his muffins for the All Out press conference. And then the a couple of days before that, he was working out, and he's taking a video, and he's playing Jungle Boy's theme song while he's working out, and Jungle Boy's the guy who Punk beat up and got fired. You're like, yeah, got, you know, quit AEW over. I mean, this is next level stuff that Drew is doing. So good. Dude, but again, that segment with him, Punk, and Seth was so fucking good. It was just awesome. Because none of it felt scripted. None of it felt safe. You know, it felt very dangerous every second. Like, you didn't know what they were going to say. But but it was still, they hit all the spots they had to hit. And, man, those are just professionals doing business. That's what that is. But, man, that was awesome. That was probably the best Monday Night Raw in fucking forever. Like, you had that segment. Oh, yeah. You had The Rock and Cody. Man, that was good stuff. So it's good. So, and I guess next week, the Pat McAfee show on Friday, I believe, will be down there. And Michael Cole's going to host the show with them. And they're going to have like Cody Rhodes on and Pat and the boys on the show.
Blake's supposed to be on it too, I think.
Who did you say?
Blake's supposed to be on it or something that I see.
Yeah. Yeah. Triple H, I think, is going to be there as well. And Pat and all his boys, they're all bloodline. They're all tribal chief, like we do here on this show.
I also enjoy Michael Cole every week now having some Pat McAfee Instagram post talking about how him sucking up to the wrong guy or kissing this guy's ass. Or
Michael Cole is great. Yeah, Cole is great. Like, when you hear him interviewed, like, on the Mac, he's just a really cool dude. But yeah, so that'll be good. And we got Becky Lynch versus Mommy. Becky was just on the MMA Hour this week on Wednesday, and she had a good couple good things to say about Rhea. And now Rhea's going to be on there Monday to fire back at Becky. So
Gunther versus Sammy is going to be great.
Oh, other big news. CM Punk is going to be on the MMA Hour next week in a sit-down interview. No limits. Talk about anything he wants. No holds barred. So that's going to be must-see TV.
So. Yeah, I still don't care for him, but...
But think of all the stories he has about AEW in the past. And oh, man, it'll be interesting to see what he says, how much he gets into it. So that'll be something. What other... Io versus Bayley. That'll be good.
Yep.
Mommy versus Becky.
The overbooked tag team championship match.
Yeah, like, what is it, a four-way match?
Six-way. Tag team ladder match.
Holy fuck. That's going to be insane.
Judgment Day versus DIY versus Awesome Truth versus The New Day versus A-Town Down Under versus The New Catch Republic.
How did the New Catch Republic get in there?
Somehow. There was a... They beat Pretty Deadly.
That is ridiculous.
And they beat Legado del Fantasma.
Pretty Deadly should be in there. Fuck New Catch Republic. Get them the fuck out of there. They're minor leaguers.
Yeah.
Get Pretty Deadly in there.
They also already had a championship match. We don't need them again.
Dude, Pretty Deadly is entertaining. Those two
are fantastic. And they would be great in a six-pack ladder match. They would do all kinds of goofy shenanigans.
Yeah. That's why I thought for sure you'd get Montez Ford in there doing crazy shit, but flipping all over the place. But yeah, they lost tonight, so they're not in there. That should be Judgment Day probably drops those belts, right?
I think so, because you need to let Priest go cash that Money in the Bank at some point.
Yeah, right after Cody gets the 1-2-3, Priest is going to cash it.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I don't know if Judgment Day is going to break up, but it seems like their cohesion is falling apart a little bit.
Hey, what's Dom Dom doing on WrestleMania?
Nothing. Nothing so far. I mean,
The original plan was him versus Brock Lesnar, and then Brock got in trouble. So
that
would have been great, Dom versus Brock. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I want to see what Dom.
He'll be there.
I hope so.
I'm not worried about that.
Dom's the best. Who else? Oh, LA Knight, AJ Styles. That'll be a good match. They've been doing some good stuff there. They showed us LA Knight going to AJ's house and getting arrested by the cops.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
WWE's been great. It's been so good since Vince left. They're doing a lot of interesting things with how they're shooting the shows too, like the long tracking shots they're following guys from the ring backstage, and that's pretty awesome. Doing all kind of weird shit. So good on WWE.
Yeah.
Becky's book came out. I didn't get it yet, but like to read Becky's book.
Yeah.
I guess someone said they were at a Becky Lynch book signing, and they asked her. Remember when she said she was pregnant and Asuka and her were in the ring in that moment? They asked her, when did Asuka learn? Did you tell her? Was that when she first learned? And she says, I told Asuka like an hour before that. So Asuka's reaction was just really good acting. How about that?
Yeah. Asuka's great. I mean, I know you love Asuka, but Asuka is fantastic.
Oh, thank you, Tuffy. Thank you for saying that. Hopefully her knee's okay. Maybe that's why they're doing the three-way. Because maybe
Kairi Sane might be better, but Asuka's great.
Calm down. Asuka's clearly a better. Where do you get a load of this Julia girl coming, Tuffy? Holy hell. That's Julia with a G. She is something. Like once
you're asking, where's Dom going to be? I want Tiffany Stratton involved at WrestleMania.
Oh,
but
yeah, Tiffy time. Where's Tiffy time? Yeah, there's just nothing for her. There's nothing for her, sadly.
Yeah. Next year.
Yeah, she'll be the main event. Maybe not main event, but she'll be in the title.
Well, she'll be in a championship match next year, I feel like.
She'll be in the title picture, But wait till you see this Julia. Asuka probably only has like a year left before she retires and goes back to Japan. So then Julia will come in right in, pick right up where she left. I'll be fine. Just go shift right to Julia. No problem. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I think Raquel Rodriguez is having issues again with her health.
So yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, I don't like to hear that. So get well, Raquel, because I'm sure she's listening to this. Because she loves how Jank talks about her, that creep. Yeah, what's your girl Liv doing in Mania? Nothing, huh?
Nothing. Nothing. Just waiting to get a push.
Yep. There's only so many spots, you know? Only so many spots.
Yeah, the women's roster is pretty loaded right now.
It's ridiculously loaded. And NXT's women's roster is ridiculously loaded.
And there's plenty still to come right behind them.
And Sasha over on, I don't know if you saw the Dynamite ratings this week, lowest they've ever been. She's over there getting milking that money mark of all his money. But they got this girl.
Get your money. Get paid, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to blame anybody for that. Yeah.
But they got this girl down in NXT named Jakara Jackson. She basically just a younger, more athletic, hotter Sasha Banks. So wait till you see Jakara Jackson. Yeah, so she's coming up soon. Well, she won't be in the main roster soon, but she's probably still a year or two away. But, NXT is loaded with talent. So I don't know. Man, they could probably have an all-woman show if they wanted. They have so much. So
yeah. Well, they got Bron Breakker just sitting on the sidelines, too, now on the men's side.
Yeah, he's still tag champs in NXT with Baron Corbin.
Okay.
And I think after Mania is usually when they will jumpstart the new talents. I think Carmelo Hayes, where it is, he's going to come up after Mania.
Yeah.
So we'll see. NXT has a big show the same weekend as WrestleMania, too. I think it'll be good. Liar of Valkyria against Roxanne.
They got the Hall of Fame Friday night, too?
Yeah, I forget how they do all this now. I think that's Friday night.
Is NXT Monday night, maybe? I don't know.
No, I think NXT might be like Thursday, and then the Hall of Fame's Friday. I don't know. Have to look. We'll figure it out by next week.
Yeah.
But all right. So there's your wrestling update. Did you watch more biographies or something?
I did watch the WWE Rivals, which was the Hardy Boys, the Dudley Boys, and Edge and Christian, and that was awesome. But also, I can't watch those kinds of matches anymore.
Why?
Just the stuff they're doing is like, that is not safe.
No, not at all.
And knowing like how Jeff Hardy's life has played out, it's like some of this stuff had to be the cause of some of those problems or exacerbate them.
Yeah, even like look at Matt Hardy trying to walk. His hips.
Yeah, the Hardy Boys, man, those were some hard spots.
Jeff off that one ladder through the table. That one ladder was like super high, you know, that one he went off of. And then
Edge spewed him hanging with the belts.
Yeah, and Edge got concussed when he did that, I guess, right? They talk about that? Like, Edge's head hit the mat.
I'm talking about that, no.
Yeah, because you're always worried about Jeff.
He talks about because Edge is talking about it, and he's like, I'm just thankful that he trusted me to do that because I almost jumped like a half a second too early and he would have just gone tumbling right on his head. Luckily, I caught myself and they show the slow-mo footage of like Edge flinching before he jumps where he almost botched that real bad.
Yeah, because Jeff is swinging on the belt from the top of the cage, or not the cage, but just the ceiling, right? It's hanging down. And
yeah, because they work, you know, chronologically through the rivalries and it starts out with the ladder match. Then the Dudleys come in and you get them doing a ladder match with the Hardys and then Edge and Christian get brought in. And every time they're like, we need to do something that's better than the last time we did. And after you watch the first match, it's like, you guys did all of it in the first match already. I don't know what else there's left to do.
It just gets more and more dangerous every time. That's why this Matchmania, I didn't know it was a ladder match. So shit's going to get weird with that tag title thing with the six teams in there. Yeah, Edge, Christian, the Dudleys.
Grayson Waller. He feels like the one who's going to go up there and do something nuts.
Yeah, I love Grayson Waller. He's awesome. So he's jumped off the top of a cage before in War Games down in NXT, so he's not scared.
Yeah.
Of those three teams, back in the day, Edge, Christian, the Hardys, I probably liked the Dudleys the most back then.
Yeah, see, I was probably a Hardy boy back then.
I like Lita, you know, but
yeah, she was with the Hardy Boys at the time. I was
that's the only thing I liked about the Hardy Boys was Lita. I was not a Hardy Boy guy. Hey, when they started, their guy was Michael P.S. Hayes. He was their manager when they started. Like,
yeah.
It's also funny because the first match with Edge and Christian, they're still the Brood Edge and Christian at that point.
Yeah.
And they don't mention the Brood part of it at all.
Gangrel, yeah. the Hardys would eventually get, or the Dudleys would eventually get Stacy Keibler involved at some point, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, is that the only one you watched? That one?
Yeah, I got the Davey Boy Smith biography recorded, but I have not watched it yet.
That'll be an interesting one.
Yeah. And I think this week, Roman Reigns is the biography subject.
Ah, nice.
The Rivals episode, I am, is the Miz versus Daniel Bryan, so that should be good too.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, I was so pro Daniel Bryan. No, nowadays, I'm all Miz in that situation. I am so Miz.
Yeah.
Miz was the right thing because
they have the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, and the Dudley Boys, where it's like, they have to go find archival interview footage because you can't have Matt and Jeff come in and do new stuff. Edge might have done some stuff because I think he recorded probably the interviews before he left again. But, yeah. You have, like, current talking heads of the Dudley Boys and Edge, not of Christian, not of the Hardy Boys. You just have footage from them being interviewed 15 years ago, basically.
Well, one of the greatest promos in the history of America is The Miz just tearing into Daniel Bryan on Smack Talk. Yeah, Talking Smack, whatever it was. And it is so great. And everything he said is spot on, 100% accurate about Daniel Bryan. And he nailed it. He's like, because this was back when Daniel Bryan wasn't allowed to wrestle because WWE's worried about his brain health. And he's like, hey, but Daniel, even if you could wrestle again, you just go right back to the bingo halls where you belong. And that's what he did. He went right back to the fucking bingo halls with AEW. Oh, my God. It's fucking awesome. All right, so that's that. What else do you watch, Tuffy? I'm up to season 13 of Taskmaster.
Ooh, I'm still back in season 12. Episode 4 is just sitting on my docket here.
Hey, season 12 is a great season, though. Or do you like it so far?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about my girl Morgana Robinson?
She is great.
Yeah, she is awesome. I like her little haircut, too. Yeah, she is awesome. Everyone on that show. I found an episode last night I skipped, I guess, in season 12 when I watched it.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was later, so you probably haven't gotten there yet. But
I did see the Taskmaster and Alex Horn were on Seth Meyers this week to promote season 17 coming to Netflix.
Oh, nice.
Or to YouTube soon. Not Netflix, YouTube.
How about that? So. Did you watch that wrestling thing yet?
No.
Yeah, you should give that a whirl.
No, I was watching, Raw, Survivor. Still no Smoke Monster.
Hey, I watched Fantasy Island this week. I started watching that to fall asleep.
Yeah.
You have any concept of Fantasy Island?
All I know is the plane.
Yeah. Hervé Villechaize, the plane, play Tattoo. And Ricardo Montalban was Mr. Rourke. He was the owner of this Fantasy Island, where people go to live out their life's fantasies. And in episode one, I watched the pilot episode. I watched the first couple, but the pilot is really great because Victoria Principal's in it. Remember Miles Watson and I were talking about Victoria Principal a couple of weeks ago, how hot she is?
Yeah.
And she's in the pilot of Fantasy Island, smoking hot. So I'm like, all right, I'm watching this. And it's basically the same setup we've mentioned before, but it was on the same night as The Love Boat back in the day. It's pretty much the same premise where you follow three different stories, like three people come to this island and they each want to live out some fantasy, and you follow them throughout the 1 hour long show, and they all usually end up happily or something happens to make them like their life again or whatever, you know. And but the pilot episode is pretty dark. Like, it's strange. Like, one of the people that comes to the island is Bill Bixby, and they put old man makeup. You know Bill Bixby, right? He played the Incredible Hulk.
No.
He was on the old days. He was on a TV show called My Favorite Martian with Ray Walston in the 60s. But then in the 70s, he was Bruce Banner or David Banner, the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
Lou Ferrigno turned into the Hulk. But anyway,
yeah.
So that's Bill Bixby. So Bill Bixby's on here. They gave him like old man makeup. He's like a World War II veteran coming to Fantasy Island, and he wants to relive. He had a brief affair with a woman in Europe during World War II, and he lost track of her. and he wants to go back and relive that moment again in his life. So Fantasy Island, it's like a magical place. This Mr. Rourke, he just makes things happen. And he somehow conjures up this scenario where he finds an actress who looks just like this woman who he was in love with. And, I mean, really, when he stepped back, Mr. Rourke's a pimp, basically, in this situation.
Yeah.
He's just
hiring a lady. Actress know what she's getting into here or what?
So Bill Bixby, he's living up his past life. And he's having flashbacks to the time, so they take the makeup off, and he's and he's in present day again, and he's, even though he's old, like the lady he's flirting around with is like the younger woman from the 1940s, you know, and yeah. They're getting on, and here we find out in like the second half of the episode that Bill Bixby, during the time in the 40s during World War II, he found out that this lady was actually married, and he flipped out and choked her to death, and. And just as he was killing her, the apartment building got hit with a bomb. And like, so like the ceiling collapsed and this beam fell out of the ceiling and everything. He survived, but she was dead from being strangled. But, like all the air sirens are going off and people were running around, and he goes to the wall there and he's leaning out the window because, you know, it's a big hole there now. And he's like, Hey, we need help. We need help. There's a woman up here. I think she's dead. And so the guy's down there like, all right, we'll send help. And then he goes back in. He lifts up this I-beam, or like the support beam, and drops it on her head. It's like, what am I watching right now?
Hey, Ricardo Montalban, I'd like to murder this lady again.
Yeah, so now we're in the present day. He's having this thing with this, you know, actress or whatever, and he starts flipping out again on her because he sees a picture with her and a guy or something. He's like, you liar. You liar. And he's just doing the same thing again. He jumps on her and starts choking her again. So then.
You know, and Tattoo comes running and goes, hey, mister, get off that lady.
No, that's not what happened. So you got to keep in mind, I'm watching this at like 6 a.m. and I'm very sleepy. So I'm like drifting off.
Yeah.
But, he chokes her and then they go to commercial. And it's on. There's no commercials on YouTube though, so the scene breaks. And then we cut back, and it's the next day. He comes walking out, and he sees Ricardo Montalban and Hervé Villechaize, and he says, "Hey, fellas, you know, I got to tell you, I killed that lady. You know, like, I killed that lady again. Like that was my fantasy back in the 40s. I murdered her in Europe, and God damn it, when you know it, I killed her again." And Ricardo Montalban goes, what are you talking about? That lady, she's not dead. I put her on a plane off the island this morning. She's perfectly fine. What are you talking about? And he's like, wait, what? I didn't kill her? And they say something to him, and then Hervé Villechaize goes over and like grabs him by the arm and like walks him down the steps. And I like fell asleep, and I don't remember like if they were arresting him or what they were doing. But it's like, I don't know what – that whole thing was so bizarre. Bill Bixby just choking a lady. I'm like, wow, this is not the Fantasy Island I remember as a kid.
Yeah.
So I would recommend people go watch Fantasy Island, the pilot episode on YouTube. You can watch it for free there. Just search for it. You'll find it. So I watched a couple other episodes. I'll watch some more tonight, probably. But they're all pretty entertaining because you get like celebrities on there, you know, and it's very, again, very much like The Love Boat. Different celebrities come in and they're living these lives. And like in this, another episode, do you know Shelley Fabre? She was on like Father Knows Best. And then she was, the love interest on Coach. Did you ever watch Coach?
We watched Coach. Yeah. Okay.
He, Hayden Fry was the character's name. Like she was his love interest on that show.
Yeah. I do know her now that I looked her up.
All right, well, her and her husband go to Fantasy Island because their husband always wanted to be rich. And then, now, I didn't understand this because during the pilot episode, Mr. Rourke says it costs $50,000 for people to come to Fantasy Island and live out their fantasies. So if they're not rich, how can they afford to come to this island? They wouldn't pay $50,000. Yeah. I didn't understand that. Maybe they want to sweepstakes. I don't know.
So if I pay $50,000, I can go strangle a hooker here on this island or what?
$50,000, 1980 money, you know, so it goes a little long. But anyway, they go to the island. They just seem like a working class, middle, lower class couple. But he wants to be rich. So they find this box in their room and it's got like a treasure map. And they go, he dives to follow this map. He dives underwater and he finds this treasure, like gold and stuff. and now he's rich. So they get all rich, and he starts throwing these lavish parties and everything, and he's like making out with other ladies at these parties, and his wife sees Shelley for free sees him. She's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "These are my friends, you know. I want to party with my friends." And he just becomes a real jerk. And I think at one point he slaps her in the mouth. He just bangs. And I was like, "Wow, the Love Boat is crazy, or the Fantasy Island is crazy."
Yeah.
Yeah, go check out Fantasy Island, Tuffy. It's a good time. Yeah. Not Epstein Island. That is something different.
No.
Don't go to Epstein Island.
Don't Fantasy want that Island. One.
So that's what I watched this week. Still listening to old radio. Been listening to The Shadow. A lot of the old Shadow radio shows. Orson Welles. Been listening to that this week.
Yeah.
What else? About it. Hockey, wrestling, and that. Anything else to discuss, Tuffy? My Chinese food and grocery store.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, first of all, the Chinese food. I always have tough luck with this Chinese. I love the place, but they always get my order wrong. But we figure it out. Still love them. Best broccoli and garlic sauce in town. So I go to get the Chinese food this week, and I always buy it for my mother as well. I treat her to dinner. And so I ask her what she wants. She says she wants wonton soup and chicken wings.
Huh.
Now, is that something you should order from a Chinese restaurant, chicken wings? It seems like an odd order. Like, they have it on the menu. Have it on the menu. And the reason she wants...
the first place I would go for chicken wings, but...
Yeah. And the reason she wants the chicken wings, she has two cats, you know? And the one cat, the fella, their brother and sister, the boy cat is a very big, sturdy fella, and he likes to eat. So she likes to share chicken with him, you know? So she's like, give me the chicken wings. So I'm like, okay, you chicken wings. So I go to the place. They had my order correct. No mix-ups at all. So we're like, oh, this is perfect. What a day this is. So I go home. I enjoy my meal. It's dynamite. She eats her meal. Later that night, the cat gets deathly ill.
Yeah.
Starts vomiting all over the place. And he just looks pitiful, like very sick. And it's like worrisome how sick he is. I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on?
Yeah.
Then my mom gets sick.
Ooh.
So the little cat, she didn't eat much chicken, so she didn't get sick.
Yeah.
But my mom didn't get too bad. But the cat got really bad. And thankfully, it was about 24 hours of the cat being really sick. And then he fought off. He's back to normal now. But basically, they got food poisoning from the Chinese.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So now I think I'm out my favorite Chinese place. I don't think I can go back there, you know? They almost killed my cat, or my mom's cat, and my mom. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, do you go back, Tuffy, or maybe just take a break? And go back?
I'll go back. I'm not too worried about it. What are the odds of going to mess it up again?
The broccoli was fine.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I might try a different Chinese place tomorrow. Maybe we'll go somewhere else. But, yeah, almost killed my mom's cat. That's not good.
Oof.
Yeah, he's back to normal, though. He's fine. But, all right. And then the grocery store, I went there this week. No one complimented my bagging. Because, again, last week,
bagging.
And I missed a Love Boat opportunity there with that lady, sadly.
Yeah.
And she was not there this week. Just random, normal customers. Although a couple weirdos did try to talk to me. So that's why I don't like to do that. But here's the thing that happened at the grocery store this week, Tuffy. I go to my car. And I load my groceries in the trunk of the car, you know, in the buggy. And then I go get in my car and I drive home. And the way I parked, I didn't have to back up. I just pulled through the row and went down and around. Yeah. Didn't have to back up. So I left. I went home. I get home. I'm bringing in the groceries. And I just have, like, a shiver goes down my spine. I have this terrible feeling that I never took my cart back.
Ooh.
Like, I have no memory of it. So.
Yeah.
What do you think happened there? Do you think I'm just so used to taking my cart back that I did it without even thinking? Because, you know,
that would be my guess.
Because the place to deposit is just like it was right across the aisle from where I parked. It's literally 10 feet. I'm probably so used to it. I just did it automatically without thinking it. But I have no memory of it whatsoever. So because then I'm thinking, like, if anyone saw me just drive off with my cart, because I didn't have to back up, so I could have just drove off and it was still behind my car. Everyone's going to think I'm an asshole, you know, just driving off, leaving your cart there, because that's what assholes do.
Yeah.
I take great pride, Tuffy, in always taking my grocery card back. I take
same for me. I agree.
I take other people's cards back. If I see cards just random in the parking lot, I'll take them and deposit them in the little things. So I'm very conscious about that. So I felt terrible if I just drove home and for whatever reason didn't take my card back. Because, you know, I'm always thinking. There's no off position on the Genius Switch, Tuffy. I'm always thinking, you know. So I was probably preoccupied and forgot about my card. So, but then, Tuffy, I was thinking, you know what? Maybe now I'm a bad boy. You know? I'm one of those
Seems
guys.
Unlikely, but, you know, anything's possible.
Now when I go to Giant Eagle, I'll have an edge to me. Like, people will think, oh, there's that bad boy. He doesn't take his carts back. He's dangerous, ladies. Look out.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll
happen? I mean, the odds are nobody noticed if you did leave your cart, so it doesn't really matter.
I would feel terrible, though, because that's just such a shitty thing to do. But I hope that I just did it automatically without even thinking. Because you get on autopilot sometimes, you know? You don't even remember if you did something. Like, did I do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day I leave the house and it's like, do I have my phone? Do I have my wallet? I don't fucking know.
But I have like no memory of it. It's so weird. So let's just say, but hey, maybe I'm a bad boy too. You don't know.
Maybe.
You just got to be on the edge now whenever you talk to me because you don't know what I'm going to do. I might fly off the handle in any sec. I'm dangerous, Tuffy. Dangerous.
Yep.
I might take some library books out.
That's what they call them.
I might get some library books and not even take them back when they're due. Yep.
Ooh.
It's kind of life I lead. So, we'll see. But all right, that's all the adventures I had this week. I shot hockey once. I think I shot Wednesday. And I was going to go, I went out to go shoot on Thursday. Get 2 days in a row there.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of filthy kids there. Well, not a bunch, just a few. But I didn't want to cause trouble. I guess because the Easter.
Yeah, they're probably out on spring break this week.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. So, yeah, so I didn't even bother trying to go today. It's still a little nippy here, a little chilly, but I could still go shoot hockey. But it's damn kids, you know? I don't want
to. Now, do you have to, like, go to your sister's for Easter or anything, or you just stay home and your mom goes out, or how does that work?
Yeah, I take my mother over to see my sister on Sunday. 2 o'clock. You got to be up by 2 o'clock. And,
Oof.
And my sister on Monday at 6:30, I believe, she has to be in Pittsburgh. She's having a knee surgery. She fucked up her knee a while back.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a knee replacement. I think it's a knee replacement or something. She's getting a big thing. I don't know. Yeah. So
good.
Yeah. So that's Monday.
I had a hip replacement recently.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, it's a. So it wasn't a single incident that caused the fracture. It was just like a wear and tear because she's, you know, 60 something years old. And my parents went to New York in September for vacation because I had a cousin getting married. So they were walking around the city for a week. And when she came back, you know, her hip was bothering her then. But she didn't want to go get it looked at right away because we were going to Disney then in October. So she didn't want to be out of commission for that vacation. And she probably wouldn't have gotten into the doctor anyways because, you know, it always takes like 2 months to actually go see a doctor. So she finally went to the doctor in early November and they said, yeah, it's probably just, you know, some muscle tightness. We'll send you for some physical therapy. But she went for 8 weeks of physical therapy with a broken hip where they were bending her and twisting her every which way.
Oh, yeah.
Until someone finally sent her for an MRI and said, oh, yeah, your hip's broken. That's why it hurts.
Wow.
So yeah, she had her surgery end of December, beginning of January, finally. But then, because she couldn't really use that leg, the muscles were all, you know, behind. So still fighting through the physical therapy to try and get strength back in the leg muscles at this point. But, you know, don't recommend it.
Yeah, my mother has arthritis in her knees, and she's always considered getting a knee replacement, you know?
Yeah.
But she's chicken. And well, she says she's chicken. I say she's smart. Because I say, as long as you can walk and you can get around and it's not to the point you can't walk, don't have the surgery. Because you never know what's going to happen in a surgery. You just never know.
Yeah, my mom could not walk.
Yeah, see, then you got to do something. But my mom can still get around for the most part. But she can't, like, go walk around the mall or even the yard. She's not too sure to go walk around the yard.
Yeah.
So my sister's kind of like a guinea pig in this situation. She's going to get the surgery and see how it goes. But yeah. I would always put off the surgery unless you absolutely have to get it done. Don't get it done.
Yeah. I mean, the bad news for your sister is they say the knee is the worst one of those, you know, but joint replacement surgeries.
The way they talk about it nowadays, they say, oh, it's so simple. You just go in, boom, boom, and you're out. And but, yeah, they always make it sound so simple, but it never goes the way.
The surgery's bad, but the rehab for a knee replacement is supposed to be the worst of the joint replacement surgeries.
Yeah, and she just hurt her. She was just at her office, like, and she just walked, took a step, and suddenly her knee just hurt, and she couldn't walk, and she had to, like, sit down, and it just went like that. So.
I think my sister-in-law tore her meniscus a few years ago. Again, just, you know, walking around, didn't do anything severe, just went in, knee hurt, and they said, yeah, you tore your meniscus, so they had to have surgery on that.
Yeah. So, all right.
That's why I don't leave the house and don't get off the couch.
I try to still do squats and stuff, you know, but if I do too many, my knees hurt because I'm an old man now. I can't.
Yeah, I'll go run for like 2 or 3 weeks. I'll be pretty good about it, and then I'll stop for a month and a half, and then I'll go run for another 3 weeks again. And, you know, there's a lot of TV to watch. That's the problem.
Hey, Tuffy, good news. You know, I shot hockey this week. Shot's still there, buddy. Still fucking laser.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, so don't worry about that.
Hope you have a good supply of hockey balls for this year.
Yeah, Larry sent me that bag of hockey balls. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So I got six ready to go. So.
Watch out, ladies. If you think his bagging is impressive, you can see his hockey shot.
Yeah. There actually was a good-looking lady the other day just jogging around the deck when I was shooting. Like,
she yeah.
was, and I was like, that's the first time I've ever seen that happen in my life. Just walking around. You can't just hit on someone when they're jogging around. They're minding their business.
It feels very creepy.
Yeah, but still, that's strange. Just an attractive
lady. It's like, last year I started rollerblading. So, like, when I go run, it's just around the neighborhood on the sidewalks. I don't run into anybody.
Yeah.
Rollerblade and I go out to like the bike trail. So there's all kinds of other people out there. It's like, you see a good looking lady running by herself. She clearly does not want to speak to me under any circumstances.
Don't even make eye contact.
They don't even want to look at you.
That's right. Talk to you. But still, it's nice to see though. Like, oh, look at that. There's someone running around.
Yeah. I want to talk to anybody either. So I'm sympathetic to the cause there. Right. Like, hey, I don't want anyone talking to me. So.
Yeah. So hopefully I'll get out, shoot some hockey this week. It's got to be the weather here's been bad. It's been really cold. Now it's getting warm and then it gets cold, so I don't know. Needs to figure it out.
I'm getting close to rollerblade season again, so that'll be nice.
But are you going to see the family for Easter? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I gotta go up to Chicago tomorrow.
All right. Well, safe travels. Have fun out
there. Yeah. I really don't want to, but you know.
It's family. You got to do it. You know, I don't want to go. Yeah. It's family. What can you do?
Yeah.
All right. So I guess that's it for this week. Next week, Jank will be back. He'll have a movie pick for us. I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Yep.
And what else for next week? Larry. I don't know what Larry. He'll be back at some point. But
I don't think he's going to want to be on before WrestleMania because he's got a big weekend there.
Yeah. Here's what he told me. He said Good Friday is very important in their house, so that's why he couldn't make the show this week. Which is absolute bullshit.
So, I do like the effort of making an actual excuse and not just saying I'm not coming, you know. This is trying.
But it's absolute bullshit. Larry has no idea what Good Friday even means. He has no idea.
Yeah.
He thinks it's an Ice Cube movie. He has no idea what Good Friday is. So, all right. Next week, Jank will be here. Until then, thanks to Tuffy. And pass the mochi to Governor Gabby. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much.